was a magazine-formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by your friends at the Reading Civic Auditorium. For tickets and show info, visit ReadingCivic.com and Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlu's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco M. Brew.
Hey, hey, welcome. This is The Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Privacy is a right, not a privilege. Defend your rights at expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. Well, folks, Joe Biden and company, they keep telling you that your money is safe. And here's the reality. If you have your money in a bank, the money isn't just going to go away. The FDIC has basically now stated that they will fill in any depositors whose bank goes under. But that's not really the issue right now. The real issue when it comes to a lot of the regional banks is that people are taking their money out of the regional banks because the rate of return that you get on your savings in a regional bank is not nearly as much as the rate of return that you're going to get from a so-called money market account. When you put your money in a money market account, you're going to be getting like a 5% rate of return. When you put it in the bank, you're getting like a 0.1% rate of return after inflation, which means why would you leave your money in a regional bank? And the reason that those regional banks have to guarantee those low rates of return as opposed to higher rates of return is because they don't actually have the asset base in order to pay you at a higher rate. And herein lies the problem. Because if people keep drawing their money out of those regional banks, the regional banks are going to go under. If the regional banks go under, liquidity is going to start to dry up. If the liquidity starts to dry up, there's no more investment in businesses. If the investment in businesses stops, you have the 2007-2008 recession all over again. According to USA Today, story by Swapna Venugopal Ramaswamy, with the failure of three regional banks since March and another one teetering on the brink, will America soon see a cascade of bank failures? Bloomberg reported Wednesday that San Francisco-based PacWest Bancorp is mulling a sale. Last week, First Republic Bank became the third bank to collapse. That's the second largest bank failure in American history after Washington Mutual, which you'll remember collapsed in 2008. After the demise of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank in March, a study on the fragility of the U.S. banking system found that 186 more banks are at risk of failure, even if only half of their uninsured depositors. Again, those are the people who stand to lose a part of their deposits if the bank fails, right? People who have more than $250,000 in their account at these banks, because the FDIC is only supposed to insure up to $250,000 of deposits. They're lying. I mean, they will now insure pretty much all deposits. But if half of those people decide to withdraw their funds, these banks go under. Most bonds are currently paying a fixed interest rate that becomes attractive when the interest rates fall. But the problem is that all of these regional banks basically trusted the federal government. Moral of the story, folks, do not trust the federal government, because the federal government is there to aggrandize itself at the expense of everybody else. So a bunch of banks took all of their assets, they put them in bonds, figuring that the federal government was not going to increase interest rates tremendously over the course of the next couple of years. Inflation was a thing of the past. We lived in the new modern monetary theory universe in which you could just spend endless amounts of money and inflation would never hit. Inflation hit. And now all of those banks have an asset base that is just garbage because the federal government has devalued the bonds in which all of those banks put their money and investments. As the USA Today points out, many banks increased their holdings of bonds during the pandemic when deposits were plentiful, but loan demand and yields were weak. For a lot of banks, those unrealized losses will stay on paper, but others will face actual losses if they actually have to sell those securities for liquidity or other reasons. So we could be watching a run on those banks pretty soon. And you can see that as the stock market opens. Regional bank stocks tumbled on Thursdays despite assurances from the Federal Reserve that the banking system was on solid footing. PacWest Bancorp dropped by about 50%. PacWest said in a statement after midnight Eastern time on Thursday that its core customer deposits were up since the end of the first quarter and that it hadn't experienced any unusual deposit flows since the collapse of First Republic. But that doesn't mean there won't be a run on the bank. Western Alliance is another bank whose stock has been hit hard. It fell by 38%. Christopher Marinac, an analyst at Janney Montgomery Scott, described the nosedive in bank stocks as a temper tantrum, according to the Wall Street Journal. But it's not really a temper tantrum when all of the regional banks are sinking all at once. In fact, there's so many short sales on these regional banks at this point that the federal government is thinking of coming in and stopping short selling. That is the rumor on the street today, is that the federal government is afraid that short selling is going to lead to a cycle wherein people start selling off the stocks in anticipation that these regional banks are going to fail. And if that happens, then the possibility of raising new liquidity through issuance of new stock goes away as well. This isn't the only risk to the economy right now. Again, these are all the wages of bad governmental and fiscal policy. When you inflate the currency with endless spending and shut down businesses for 2 years, when you decide that it is imperative to jack up the amount of money in circulation in order to, quote unquote, help the people at the bottom, even though those people are the hardest hit by inflation, the costs come due. In economics, gravity always applies. According to the New York Times, Amit Serra, professor of finance at Stanford Graduate School of Business, quote, our nation's banking system is at a critical juncture. The recent fragility and collapse of several high-profile banks are most likely not an isolated phenomenon. In the near term, a damaging combination of fast-rising interest rates, major changes in work patterns, and the potential of a recession could prompt a credit crunch not seen since the 2008 financial crisis. Back then, amidst a housing market bubble, lenders had handed out high-risk loans to people with poor credit histories. When the market collapsed, so did many of the banks that made those loans. That caused the Great Recession. This time, the epicenter is different, but the result may be the same. Lost jobs and widespread financial pain. And then this professor at Stanford Business School explains the rapidly increasing interest rates that are undercutting the asset value of all of these regional banks. And then he says there's another area of looming concern that could also spark a panic, the commercial real estate sector. Commercial real estate loans worth $2.7 trillion in the United States make up about a quarter of an average bank's assets. Many of those loans are coming due in the next few years. Refinancing at higher rates increases the risk of default. If a lot of people have taken out loans and then they have to refi those things and the rates are higher now because the interest rates are higher, then presumably a lot of people are going to go under. They're not going to be able to actually afford their mortgage in the commercial real estate sector. Rising interest rates depress the value of commercial properties, especially those with long-term leases and limited rent escalation clauses, which also increases the likelihood of owner default. In the Great Recession, for example, default rates rose to about 9%, up from about 1% as those interest rates went up. This time, the damage to the sector threatens to be far, far greater. The COVID-19 pandemic led to a huge jump in remote working, with over 40% of the U.S. labor force working remotely by May 2020. The return to in-person office work has been slow, so the commercial real estate sector is over-leveraged. Signs of distress are already visible, particularly in offices. By the end of March, the equity value of real estate holding companies, or REITs, focused on the office sector, had declined by nearly 55% since the beginning of the pandemic. And then there's a longer-term risk, too, says this professor. After the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank, the government took substantial actions guaranteeing all deposits, regardless of size, to restore trust in the banking system. But this creates a massive moral hazard. What incentive do bank executives have to take smaller risks with depositor money if they believe the government is going to simply protect those depositors over time anyway? So the systemic risks to the banking system continue to exist, and those are exacerbated by the fact that the government continues to spend endless amounts of money. We'll get to more on this in just a moment. First, this year, Israel marks the miraculous milestone of its 75th anniversary. The fact that this much maligned nation has survived in the face of insurmountable odds is absolutely miraculous, inexplicable, coinciding with Israel's historic anniversary is the celebration of 40 years of ministry by the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. This benchmark is yet another shining example of God's unfailing faithfulness to his people. Today, thousands of Jews, both in Israel and in war-torn Ukraine, struggle to survive life-threatening situations that include extreme poverty, severe hunger, and violence in the form of conflict, anti-Semitism, and terrorism. These are the most vulnerable people. Among them are tens of thousands of Holocaust survivors and elderly Jews who will not survive without basic necessities like food. At this critical time, a gift of just $40 will help one person in need with an emergency food box and hot meals for 1 week. Today, we have a special matching challenge opportunity. Your gift will double in impact. A $40 gift becomes $80. A $100 gift becomes $200. Go to benfortthefellowship.org or call 800-331-3737. Make a gift of just $40 to the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. Help rush an emergency food box to those in need. Your special gift will double in impact to provide those in need with twice as much nourishment. That's benfortthefellowship.org or call 800-331-3737. Okay, so all of this, as I say, this economic crisis that is going to happen, it will, because there's just no way to avoid it. The only question is when. Exacerbating that is, of course, the government's wild overspending problem. Now, the reality is that one way that you could bring that back into focus is to cut the amount of government spending. That's what this debt ceiling battle is all about. But the reality is that Joe Biden doesn't want to cut the spending. He wants to continue spending. They continue to maintain the radical Keynesian notion that the way that you maintain a thriving and healthy economy is to blow extraordinary amounts of borrowed money into the economy. But you don't need to do that right now. And there's a new unemployment rate out right now. And what it is showing is that the unemployment rate remains really low. that the jobs market continues to be incredibly robust, which means inflation is not going to come down anytime soon. That is particularly true, again, given the fact that Joe Biden maintains that he wants to continue spending endless amounts of money. The fact that he will not even discuss going back to 2022 levels of spending is an amazing predictor of exactly where we are going to go fiscally here. The Wall Street Journal points out, Greg Ip, that a debt deal would actually help solve the country's inflation problem, but the chances of a debt deal are really, really low at this point. Joe Biden simply wants to continue spending up the wazoo. He doesn't want to cut discretionary spending. He doesn't want to restructure entitlements, nothing. In fact, it's become a taboo in American politics to talk about restructuring the entitlement programs that are actually driving the national debt in a major way. Meanwhile, Democrats keep saying that they really don't want to negotiate. Senator John Tester, Democrat of Montana, he says a default on the debt may actually happen, so we can stack that on top of the list of fiscal problems facing the United States.
What did McCarthy promise?
Exactly.
And I think that adds another sidebar to this that makes it more difficult.
Senator,
far more difficult and changes the landscape. I will tell you that before I was worried, because we have done this before, as you're right, Joe. But I'm going to tell you, I'm very concerned that there's enough people out there that want to see this default happen on our debt that, in fact, may happen.
Okay, well, if you don't want it to happen, you know what would be a great thing is put pressure on Joe Biden to come to the table and actually negotiate over the future of the economy in the United States. But he's not going to do any of that sort of stuff, John Tester. Democrats have no interest in doing that sort of thing. The game in politics is to avoid responsibility at all costs. When it comes to the economy, the reality is that a thriving economy with a serious future requires the government not to make endless promises and spend endless amounts of borrowed money and then inflate the currency in order to fill in that gap. But that's precisely what has happened here. And it's going to continue to happen up until we hit that cliff. And here's the problem. The reason that I can't predict a date is because it's going to look more like a cliff than it is like a gradual decline in the economy. It's not going to be a gradual stagnation of the economy. It is going. There will come a point where depositors are just not holding up these regional banks anymore and they collapse. And the liquidity dries up like that. And all of a sudden, things get real bad. So my advice, by the way, what I've been doing, diversify. Diversifying would be the smart move in this particular economy because no one's going to take responsibility enough to actually solve the problems, which is sort of the theme of today's politics, is it not? Avoiding responsibility at all costs. Speaking of avoiding responsibility at all costs, the city of New York continues to want to have it both ways. They don't actually want to police crime, but at the same time, they want to pretend that if they don't police crime, that there won't be people who try to defend themselves. In fact, the attempt by many mainstream hard-left Democrats to normalize living in garbage conditions is truly amazing. It really is. And there's now an attempt to suggest that you are only a believer in equity if you are willing to allow yourself to be victimized on the subway. And this has become an actual talking point. Representative Jamal Bowman, Democrat of New York, now, he had some statements about Jordan Neely. We spoke about Jordan Neely yesterday. Jordan Neely is this 30-year-old, mentally ill, repeat criminal, 44 arrests, most recently arrest warrant outstanding for beating up a 67-year-old woman. And he was on the subway and he was threatening people and shouting in their faces and apparently preparing to get violent when he was taken down and put in a submission hold by a 24-year-old Marine. He then died. And so this has turned into the media's usual game of, is this systemic American racism? Is this all about the evils of white people? And as I said yesterday, it isn't about that. What this really is about is a city that refuses to actually police crime, because policing crime might look racially disparate. Here's Representative Jamal Bowman suggesting, of course, that this is indicative of the evils of the United States.
I'm born and raised in New York. I rode the trains my entire life as a child. You often see people who are unhoused have episodes. And I couldn't help but think of the, like, 10 other things that could have been done before this person decided to wrap his arms around Mr. Neely's neck and choke him to death. The entire world saw it. The entire world saw him be choked to death. It's on video. So let the DA do his investigation, but the investigation is going to include this video.
I mean, that's amazing. What else could have been done? Okay, first of all, there are plenty of resources for people who are mentally ill in the city of New York, at least in terms of having a homeless shelter or a place to go. The biggest problem is that people who are schizophrenic, people who need mental help, those people are not taken off the streets, thanks to people like Jamal Bowman. And instead, the left has settled on a theory when it comes to this, which is that you, the normal taxpaying citizen of the United States, must undergo the gauntlet of being abused in public areas by people who are mentally ill drug addicts or criminals. This is something that absolutely must happen. We'll get to more on this in just one second. First, if you have a family like I do, you have dependents, you need life insurance. Because God forbid you're walking down the street and suddenly an asteroid starts plummeting directly toward you from orbit. You're thinking to yourself, because you don't have time to get out of the way, man, I should have listened to Shapiro. I should have headed on over to PolicyGenius.com. PolicyGenius was built to modernize the life insurance industry. Their technology makes it easy to compare life insurance quotes from America's top insurers in just a few clicks to find your lowest price. PolicyGenius has licensed agents who can help you find the best fit for your needs. They work for you, not the insurance company, so you can trust them to find you the best fit. They don't have that incentive to recommend one insurer over another. There are no added fees. Your personal details will remain private. With PolicyGenius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $25 per month for $1 million in coverage. Some options offer coverage in as little as a week and avoid those unnecessary medical exams. Your loved ones deserve that financial safety net, and you deserve a smarter way to find and buy it. Head on over to PolicyGenius.com or click the link in the description. Get your free life insurance quotes. See how much you could save today. Again, that's PolicyGenius.com, PolicyGenius.com, or click the link in the description. Get your free life insurance quotes. See how much you could save. Alrighty, coming up. Apparently, the left believes that you should be abused on the subway for the sake of equity. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and as a mom, some days are just easier than others. Maybe you're taking the kids to school and have a fender bender in the parking lot. Maybe you're shopping and you just realize you backed into a shopping cart, and that's when it's important to take it to someone that you trust, like Crossroads Auto Body Repair. They're located at 3045 Crossroads Drive. They also accept most major insurance companies, and they're available by appointment. You can call them at 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
What's being hidden from us? About the COVID-19 scenario? About covert climate engineering operations that are wreaking havoc with weather all over the world? About the totality of unfolding and accelerating global environmental collapse? If you're willing to face and investigate shocking, verifiable realities that mainstream media sources and their distract and divide talking heads will never tell you, tune into the commercial-free, non-political Global Alert News Hour, Saturday at 11 a.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Looking for a restaurant that offers quality and value? Look no further than Dry Creek Station on Highway 299 East in Bella Vista. Family owned and operated, Dry Creek Station has been serving up delicious steaks, seafood, chicken, soups, and salads since 1992. Don't miss their house-made clam chowder and live music Friday and Saturday nights. And be sure to ask about their fantastic weekend specials. And the menu doesn't stop there. Come check out Dry Creek Station's new lunch menu, including their fabulous burger menu. Also grilled chicken breast, beef ribs, fish and chips, the salmon filet, and their popular lunch special, taco salad with your choice of steak, chicken, or prawn. They also offer kids meals. Join us at the Dry Creek Station for lunch from noon to 4 or dinner from 5 to 9. Open Tuesday through Sunday with happy hour from 3 to 5. Come on down to the Dry Creek Station at 22025 Highway 299 East of Bella Vista, where quality and value meet.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Welcome back. This is Ben Shapiro Show. So the left used to suggest that one of the great benefits of socialistic policy was safe public transportation. Now, apparently, one of the benefits is public transportation in which you are regularly abused. Roxanne Gay, who, again, there's a running gun battle over at the New York Times on who is the worst columnist. And I mean, there is rich competition over there. It's like the Kentucky Derby of terrible columnists. But Roxanne Gay is definitely one of the front runners. She has a piece today in the New York Times titled, "Making People Uncomfortable Can Now Get You Killed." Quote, increasingly, it is not safe to be in public, to be human, to be fallible. I'm not quoting breathless journalism about rising crime or conservative talking points about America falling into ruin. The ruin I'm thinking of isn't in San Francisco or Chicago or at the southern border. The ruin is woven into the fabric of America. It's seeping into all of us. All across the country, supposedly good, upstanding citizens are often fatally enforcing ever-changing arbitrary and personal norms for how we conduct ourselves. And then she writes about a series of events in which people engage in no crime, as in the case of Ralph Yarrell in Kansas City, or somewhat minor crime, as in the case of a person who shoplifted and then ended up getting shot. But then she gets to Jordan Neely. Quote, on Monday, Jordan Neely, a Michael Jackson impersonator, experiencing homelessness. This is, everything is passive. Right? And now everything is you are unhoused. If you're a mentally ill person who's living on the streets, not because there are no homeless shelters, but because the city will allow you to live on the streets and you do so, you're now experiencing homelessness or you're unhoused. It's somehow the fault of the society for not giving you a house or something. He was yelling and, according to some subway riders, acting aggressively on an F train in New York City. Well, not according to some riders, according to all the riders. I don't have food. I don't have a drink. I'm fed up. Mr. Neely cried out, I don't mind going to jail and getting life in prison. I'm ready to die. Was he making people uncomfortable? I'm sure he was. But his were the words of a man in pain. He did not physically harm anyone. I mean, avoid all the reports of Jordan Neely apparently attempting to push people onto the subway tracks over the course of the past few weeks. The consequence for causing discomfort isn't death, unless, of course, it is. A former Marine held Mr. Neely in a chokehold for several minutes, killing the man. News reports keep saying Mr. Neely died, which is a passive thing. We die of old age. We die in a car accident. We die from disease. When someone holds us in a chokehold for several minutes, something far worse has occurred. Well, I mean, first of all, we're going to have a medical examiner, I am sure, who's going to have to determine whether an underlying condition led to Neely's death, meaning that a normal person who's placed in a submission hold gets knocked out, they don't die. To be truly civilized means that you, as an innocent, law-abiding citizen, you must accept being abused. I want to show you some video. This is from 2022. This is what riding the subway in New York is actually like. You can see people moving down the subway away from a person who is, and then who is this looks like a black young woman who literally grabs the hair of another person of color who's sitting there saying, help me. No one's helping her. No one's helping her. This young woman is now grabbing her by the hair and then throwing her. And now walking down the car, shouting at herself. Now climbing the window of the subway, trying to kick out the window of the subway. This is it's sort of a recidivism to the bad old days of the 1960s, 70s, and 80s in New York City that led to the election of Rudy Giuliani and then a crime decline in the city of New York. But this is what is being normalized. And again, it makes you a good person to accept it. So, for example, there's a woman named Emma Vigeland. She's on the Majority Report, I guess. And she had a clip going viral today talking about how if you want to feel safe on public transit, this is bourgeois. And you have to suppress those bourgeois feelings. You have to make yourself feel okay about being abused on the public transportation system.
I was hit at one point sitting on the subway by a man who was having a mental health episode. He sat next to me and he was elbowing and kind of flailing around and hit me in the face and in my body. And it was jarring, right? The idea that I would want him to be hurt in any way, I just didn't want to be near him in that moment because I understood something was going on here. But like, my fear is not the primary object of like what we should be focusing on right now. It's the fact that this person is in pain. And so like the politics of dehumanization privileges the bourgeois kind of concern of people's like immediate discomfort in this narrow, narrow instance as opposed to larger humanity and life. It's really freaking twisted.
You are expected by the hard left to now undergo being abused on the public transit system in order to create a more diverse and wonderful society. I mean, good luck with this pitch, guys. Seriously, good luck to you in all your future endeavors. Because let me tell you something that nobody likes. Right, left, center, being yelled at, beat up, assaulted on the subway system. Nobody likes that crap. Nobody's into it. So if this is the new idea, is that to be tolerant, diverse, and humane, you have to allow yourself to be abused by schizophrenic homeless people and drug addicts, then I wish you all the best. Already coming up, apparently only certain types of people dying on the subway is a story. We'll get to that in a moment. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with the promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with the promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
The Riverfront Playhouse presents Rabbit Hole, written by David Lindsay Abair and directed by Samantha Fork. Experience this Pulitzer Prize-winning play that explores the emotional aftermath of a family's tragic loss and their struggle to cope with grief and find a way to move forward. April 21st through May 6th at the Riverfront Playhouse in downtown Reading. Tickets available at riverfrontplayhouse.net or enjoy the store Reading. Rabbit Hole is sponsored by this amazing station and other pro-arts businesses.
Hi, Bob at Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's bitcoin530.io.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons, an independent senior living community. I'm excited to share with you an exclusive program we are currently offering at River Commons called our Moderate Income Program. This is an in-house program offered by Raystone Senior Living. Those who financially qualify for this program will receive a reduced monthly rate. This rate still includes all of our regular services and amenities. Included in the monthly rent are 3 chef-prepared meals daily, weekly housekeeping and linen services, scheduled transportation, activities, utilities, cable TV, and emergency medical pendant, and more. Our community also has a very friendly family feel, all set on beautiful grounds with scenic views. To learn more about our moderate income program, schedule a tour, or lunch plus a tour, please give us a call at 530-221-2121. You can also visit us on our web at river-commons.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlize Tap House and mobile catering, of course. Charlize Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlize will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlize today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlize Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlize Tap House rule number 1, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlize Tap House rule number 2, never stay empty-handed. Charlize Tap House and mobile catering in 2 locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlize Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlize Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So apparently, according to the left and according to the media, only certain types of people dying on the subway is a story. The New York Post has a piece by Nicole Jalinas pointing out that 27 people were violently killed on the subway system in New York City since March of 2020. No progressive outrage. Why? Well, because this one fit the narrative. The narrative was white man, black quasi-victim. Before Neely's death, 27 people lost their lives to murder in the subway. Many of them, like Neely, were homeless young people. Before 2019, it took 15 years for New York to rack up 28 murders on the subway, not three. As Nicole Jalinas points out, where were AOC and all of her fellow leftists when homeless soccer player Akeem Loney, 32, was murdered by a stranger as he slept on the subway in November 2021? Where were they when Claudine Roberts, 44, also sleeping on the subway, was fatally knifed by a stranger earlier that year? I mean, the answer is nowhere. Because that's the way this works. If it fits the narrative, then it becomes a national news story. But the underlying theme to all of this is that you, as a civilized human being, are expected to simply avert your eyes when it comes to crime, when it comes to homelessness, when it comes to odd, terrible behavior, all in the name of, as I say, often atomistic individualism. Somebody else is living their happiness. And if they impose on your space, well, it's your job to simply stand back and allow that to happen. Which presumably is why you have, I mean, this presumably is why you have San Francisco now having to deploy the National Guard. According to the New York Post, things have gotten so bad in San Francisco that they've now brought in the National Guard and California Highway Patrol this week to combat trafficking and drug-addled zombies in the city. 4 days later, sources told the Post deals are still going down in the streets anyway. The struggling city has finally announced it would take a tougher stance on crime after an exodus of retailers plagued by theft, dwindling tourism, and 200 overdose deaths in 3 months. Mayor London Breed said using CHP officers and the National Guard as support to curb drug trafficking is the aggressive step the city needed to take. But remember, one of the reasons that this is happening overall is because of the tolerance for drug-addled behavior on our streets and the tolerance for drug use overall in our society, which has risen in tremendous fashion. By the way, this is not unlinked. A lot of this is linked to the rise in marijuana use. This has become a taboo subject because back in the 1990s, you were a fuddy-duddy if you said that marijuana use was bad and that actually marijuana could be addictive to people. And if you suggested that marijuana use was both a gateway drug and also addled people, if you said any of that when I was growing up, in the late 90s, early 2000s, you said any of that stuff, you were uncool. That was the thing you weren't allowed to say. Marijuana was exactly the same as alcohol, except milder and with some mild health benefits. There's only one problem with that, which is absolute tripe. It is nonsense. It is not true. Pretty much all the warnings of those conservative fuddy-duddies have now come true. According to the UK Daily Mail, marijuana may be driving a surge in schizophrenia cases among young men, a major government-funded study suggests. Researchers backed by the National Institute on Drug Abuse estimated 30% of all schizophrenia cases in men aged 21 to 30 are linked to cannabis addiction. Overall, across all age groups, the analysis of 6 million people found 15% of diagnoses in men and 4% in women could be attributed to the drug. Dr. Nora Volkel, NIDA director and co-author of the study, said the results called for urgent action and demanded people think twice before smoking marijuana. But we were told that, again, marijuana is the cool kid cigarette. Cigarettes are really bad. You can't have those smoked in public places, but you can walk through Denver and the entire city is now covered in a smog-like blanket of marijuana smoke. And all of that is supposedly good. It was a lie, okay? All of this was a lie. The idea that schizophrenia and marijuana were not linked, or that it was non-addictive, it was just not true. Another study shows that teens who smoke cannabis are 6 times more likely to get schizophrenia. But again, this was supposed to be an activity linked to personal fulfillment. So you have a drug-addled generation of people. They are high on everything from marijuana to Adderall, who are told by their elders that this is the highest expression of individual autonomy and that all of society must make way for their personal behavior. And then we are surprised when our cities are falling apart? This should not be a shock at all. Get more on this in just one moment. First, if you own a small business, you know the value of your time. Innovation Refunds understands what your time means. No matter how busy you are, they've made it easy to apply for the Employee Retention Credit, or ERC. Your business may be eligible for a payroll tax refund of up to $26,000 per employee kept on payroll during COVID-19. Innovation Refunds has already helped clients claim over $3 billion in payroll tax refunds through the ERC. They might be able to help your business, too. There's no upfront charge. They don't get paid until your business gets its refund. Many businesses believe they won't qualify based on incomplete or outdated information. So don't let the opportunity pass you by, because the payroll tax refund, it's only available for a limited amount of time. If you paid too much money to the federal government over the course of the last few years, meanwhile they were screwing you with inflation and with COVID shutdowns, well, wouldn't now be an amazing time to get back some of that money? Go to GetRefunds.com to get started. In less than 8 minutes, you can see if your business qualifies for ERC assistance. Again, go to GetRefunds.com. It's been a rough time for a lot of businesses. If you can claw back money you shouldn't have paid to the federal government in the first place, why wouldn't you just go do it? Go to GetRefunds.com right now. Again, that's GetRefunds.com right now to get started in less than 8 minutes. See if your business qualifies. And there's a philosophical underpinning to everything that is happening with our younger generation, ranging from the skyrocketing rates of mental illness to homelessness to drug use. There's something going on in our society, and that is the complete fragmentation of the social fabric, the exploding of our social fabric, the exploding of the idea of norms, of decency itself. This, I presume, is why the Surgeon General has now put out a report, Surgeon General of the United States, has now put out a report on what he calls the epidemic of loneliness and isolation. Now, first of all, the Surgeon General is doing, like, an amazing job. First, you isolate everybody in their home for 2 years, and then you put out a report on the surging epidemic of loneliness. And well done, everyone. Just genius-level stuff here from the Surgeon General. First of all, this is not a public health issue, loneliness. It isn't. It's a spiritual issue. It has public health ramifications, but it's a spiritual issue. But what's hilarious about this report is that the Surgeon General looks everywhere, including under the bed, for the sources of all of these problems. But never at any point does the government suggest, oh, maybe it was us. Maybe us undermining the social fabric, both economically and in terms of communal standards. Maybe that is part of the problem. So Vox.com sums up what is in the Surgeon General report on the epidemic of loneliness and isolation. They say that loneliness and social disconnectedness are a serious threat to physical and mental health. It says social isolation effects on mortality are equivalent to smoking up to 15 cigarettes a day. Social isolation, an objective measure of lacking connection to family, friends, and community, and loneliness, a subjective measure of feeling disconnected, contribute to a person having a higher risk of heart disease, stroke, anxiety, depression, and dementia, and make people more susceptible to infectious diseases. And this ripples out to the broader community. So the main takeaways of the report include the idea that, one, Americans are lonelier and more isolated than ever. Half of Americans say they experience loneliness, according to several recent surveys. Less than 40% said in a 2022 study they felt very connected to others. In the 1970s, almost half of Americans, 45%, said they could generally trust other people. Today, less than a third say the same. The amount of time Americans say they spend alone every day has risen by nearly 30 minutes from 2003 to 2019, and then increased another 20-plus minutes in 2020, which was during the pandemic. The amount of time young people aged 15 to 24 spend with their friends in person dropped by nearly 70% from 2003 to 2020. Some of the risk factors that make you more prone to loneliness and isolation include, quote, being a racial or ethnic minority or identifying as LGBTQ, experiencing discrimination, having a lower income, and living alone. Well, I mean, perhaps the correlation is reversed. I mean, perhaps this is not because of this. Maybe it's not your race that is leading to a sense of isolation. Maybe it's the social breakdown in communities that are disproportionately minority that is leading to a sense of isolation. It's a correlation, but the causation doesn't run from society's discriminating against you, and therefore you're isolated. Maybe it's that there are underlying social ills that are leading to this epidemic of loneliness and isolation. The second big takeaway from this report is that loneliness and social isolation negatively affect a person and a community's health, which, of course, we already knew. And then the Surgeon General suggests how the United States can begin to address its loneliness epidemic. So they recommend 6 pillars. You ready for these? 1, strengthen the social infrastructure. More communal spaces. More social activities. Better infrastructure to help people access them. Oh, so like midnight basketball, that'll solve it. 2, develop pro-connection public policies that account for the need to foster connection. From transportation to education, maybe public transit will do it. Public transit. More subways and buses. Because as we've seen on our subways, things are going amazing. Did you see the sort of social connectedness that you were looking for in that subway? Where people were being grabbed by the hair and dragged around? Mobilizing the health sector, train healthcare providers to identify people at risk of isolation, and better equip providers to connect patients with the other forms of social support they may need. Reform the digital environment by requiring more transparency from big tech. Deepening our knowledge. Well, that obviously means more government-funded studies. And cultivating a culture of connection using all the vectors available from politics to entertainment to reinforce the values of connection and reduce polarization. Okay, so you may notice that there is one thing above all that the government really should be doing when it comes to reducing isolation and loneliness. One thing above all, and that is to go away. The government should go away because the government has created a destructive cycle that has replaced the social fabric in the first place. We'll get some more on this in just one second. First, if you have a family like I do, you have dependents, you need life insurance because God forbid you're walking down the street and suddenly an asteroid starts plummeting directly toward you from orbit. You're thinking to yourself, because you don't have time to get out of the way, man, I should have listened to Shapiro. I should have headed on over to PolicyGenius.com. PolicyGenius was built to modernize the life insurance industry. Their technology makes it easy to compare life insurance quotes from America's top insurers in just a few clicks to find your lowest price. PolicyGenius has licensed agents who can help you find the best fit for your needs. They work for you, not the insurance company, so you can trust them to find you the best fit. They don't have that incentive to recommend one insurer over another. There are no added fees. Your personal details will remain private. With PolicyGenius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $25 per month for $1 million in coverage. Some options offer coverage in as little as a week and avoid those unnecessary medical exams. Your loved ones deserve that financial safety net, and you deserve a smarter way to find and buy it. Head on over to PolicyGenius.com or click the link in the description. Get your free life insurance quote to see how much you could save today. Again, that's PolicyGenius.com, PolicyGenius.com, or click the link in the description. Get your free life insurance quotes. See how much you could save. Already coming up, the Surgeon General has suggested that social isolation is a mental health crisis. Well, here is the thing. It is, but that is happening because of government. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
I'm Jack Potter, Jr., Tribal Chairman of the Reading Rancheria. We are so proud to have partnered with the Reading Rodeo Association for Rodeo Week, featuring an opening prayer and national anthem, all in traditional Native languages. As you know, our roots and hearts are here in this community, so we couldn't be more excited by this partnership, from grants to help local businesses and government, to making health care available to so many, to our own community events. We are invested in the community and its people. Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Gold Leaf Nursery is back open and stocked up. Gold Leaf Nursery wants to help you grow your own eatable grocery. Begin with the sweet taste of fresh fruit from fruit trees, blueberries, and strawberry plants. And now start preparing your garden. We have a huge selection of vegetable and herb plants, including flavor-filled heirloom varieties you can't find at the store. And we know a thing or two about this because we've been growing veggies since 1975. Spring has sprung, and it's time to add color to your landscape. The nursery is blooming with azaleas, clematis, phlox, candy tuft, perennials, and annuals. So saturate your landscape with color. Add yet another dimension to your landscape with statuary. We just received our new statuary order. Several different bird baths, fountains, and stepping stones. Come by and check us out at 6186 Cherry Creek Road, a quarter mile from Airport Road. We're open Tuesday through Saturday.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
I'm Jack Potter, Jr., Tribal Chairman of the Reading Rancheria. We are so proud to have partnered with the Reading Rodeo Association for Rodeo Week, featuring an opening prayer and national anthem, all in traditional Native languages. As you know, our roots and hearts are here in this community, so we couldn't be more excited by this partnership, from grants to help local businesses and government, to making health care available to so many, to our own community events. We are invested in the community and its people. Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, the federal government has now put out a report suggesting that social isolation is a crisis. That's true. It's your fault. Here's the deal, guys. Leave people alone and let people go back to church. There are a couple of major things that have happened via the government that have destroyed the social fabric in this country over the course of the last 60 years. One is the replacement of social connection with government incentive structures. I'm talking economically speaking. See, in a normal religious community, the way that it works is that you demonstrate you have skin in the game. The skin in the game is you go to church, you go to synagogue, you engage with your community, you're part of the PTA, right? And by showing that you have skin in the game, what this means is that when you fall on hard economic times, your friends help out. Your family helps out. Your kinship structure helps out. This is traditionally how communities were built. The government came in and said, this is unfair. We don't like this anymore. Because what it's basically saying is that you have to buy into the system in order for you to receive back. Now, the government replaced that with a new deal, which is you have to buy into the government system in order to receive back. If you really want to receive, then you have to give all authority to the government and you have to cut out the social fabric, which is precisely what people did. Again, all of the economic support systems that were built rooted in duty, right? The entitlements that you got were just an aspect of the duty that you had to the community. And if you disconnected the strings between you and the community, well, the entitlements went away. What this meant is that people actually were able to balance the entitlements and the duties. Well, when the government came in and said, you have no more duties, not to your friends, not to your family, not to anybody, the government is just going to pay for you. What it did is it destroyed the economic incentive structure for people to join religious communities, and it fragmented these communities. And you may think, well, you know, that's better because now people are liberated. Question, do people feel liberated or do they just feel atomistically divided from the rest of society? The evidence is in and the evidence is clear. So that's problem number one. The government, through welfare programs, has basically destroyed all social incentives for kinship structures, community networks, and religious communities. That's one. Two, the government has actively promoted a social culture in which subjective individualism is the only way to think about yourself. The way you are supposed to think about yourself is not with regard to your community. The government will step in and tell you that your local community is not allowed to regulate itself along homogenous lines, ideologically homogenous lines. You live in a religious community, and you don't want that weed shop opening in your neighborhood. Well, the government may have something to say about that. You live in a religious community, and you don't want a strip club opening down the street. Well, you know, that may be a violation of free speech. It might be. And this kind of destruction of the social fabric by the government, and then the consequent atomization of society, not particularly shocking. That, of course, has been exacerbated by other features of the American landscape, including social media, which has allowed people to abandon those local in-person structures where you actually feel social connection. Right? The place where I feel the most social connection on a personal level, and this is true for virtually everybody in the Orthodox Jewish community, for example, is Sabbath. On Sabbath, you go to shul. At shul, you hang out with your friends. Your kids, it's your friends' kids. You spend literally the entire day being part of your community. And then if you are part of a robust Orthodox community, it's not only on Sabbath, but this is, of course, true of Christians on Sunday. This is why the idea of blue laws and Sabbath laws, in which people basically took off the day, that was a very good thing, societally speaking. And we got rid of all of that stuff. And we replaced that with this idea that you can make friends all across the country, right? You can do this using Facebook. You can do this using social. Well, those aren't friends. Those are just people who are online and lonely and bored, just like you. And they have no actual stake in you because you have no duty to them. See, the thing is, if you actually wish to create a social fabric, it is reliant not on goodwill. Is reliance on goodwill that is built upon a mutual sense of values, sharing, and duty. That is where the social fabric is built. See, I have goodwill for a lot of people out there, randos. I have goodwill for them. I give charity to them all the time. But let me tell you something. If they don't buy into the same dutiful system that I am a part of, the level of connection I have with them is very, very low. And the government has basically exploded that. The notion that you have a duty to your neighbor is now governmentally imposed by dint of the government gun. Right, the way that you're going to help your neighbor is by paying into the welfare system. And if you don't pay into the welfare system, the government will come arrest you for tax evasion. That is not the way that it typically used to work. The way that it used to work is there were social pressures for you to join the religious community and be part of a purpose-driven community with a higher value system. And by doing this, this meant that you were now engaged with everybody else. The government came and they destroyed all of this. All the intermediate structures of society that sociologist Robert Nisbet talks about 50, 60, 70 years ago, all of those have been completely undone. And there's the Surgeon General being like, well, but if we do build some buses, then we'll fill that back in. Well, you know, the backlash to this is all starting now. Because it turns out that the crystallization of this atomistic individualism, the crystallization of this subjectivism, has now entered the advertising marketplace. And it was one thing when this was the soft background to our society. It was one thing when we could feel it happening. We could feel the social fabric fraying. But you didn't see somebody just ripping the social fabric in half right in front of you. When people could deny that this is what they were doing, when they're like, well, you know what, Yeah, yeah, the social fabric is getting, but that's just the natural consequence of development. That's just it's sort of a thing that happens. And I mean, do you really want to go back to the bad old days when you were expected to go to church? And that kind of soft inculcation in individualism, atomistic individualism without regard to community, that could happen. But when you see the culture in front of your face taking the social fabric and then just taking a box cutter and shredding it right in front of you, that's when the backlash begins. And this is what we are now seeing. So one of the reasons that you're seeing this with regard to Bud Light, okay, this is Bud Light is a great early bleeding indicator of this. So Bud Light was a great American company. It was a great American brand. It was a brand that was built on basically the flag and horses. That was the entire marketing campaign for Bud Light. It was the Clydesdales, right? That's what everyone remembered about Bud Light. These really cute commercials during the Super Bowl with the Clydesdales and some dude with an American flag. That was going to be Bud Light. And then Bud Light decided to hire, as an influencer, a man pretending to be a woman. And at that point, everybody went, okay, guys, we have nothing in common with you. Literally nothing. Not only that, we think that you are actively fostering the fraying of the social fabric. Because if we don't even share basic things like men and women exist, then we have nothing to share. And so Bud Light sales have absolutely cratered. And good for, honestly, good on us. It's an optimistic sign for American society. Good on Americans for not buying Bud Light. Apparently, their sales have dropped like 20%, leading the Anheuser-Busch InBev CEO, Michael Doukeris, to have to speak about the decline of Bud Light sales on an actual conference call. Here is what he said.
One challenge is what you call the misinformation and confusion that still exists. We need to continue to clarify the facts that this was one cam, one influencer, one post, and not a campaign. And repeat this message for some time.
Okay, so they're just going to keep claiming now that they have to back off this thing. They're going to say it was just one post, it was an influencer, it was not a campaign. Well, good luck to you. You're going to have to do more than that. I'm glad that you guys are backing off. I'm glad that you have realized that you can't go this far and slap Americans in the face with a wild bout of social leftism. But it ain't going to help. Bud Light sales apparently are down 26.1% for the week ending April 22nd compared to the previous year. They were down 21.1% for the week prior. In fact, here is some video from Fenway Park. There's a Bud Light stand over there. You can see it's a fairly busy park. There is no one at that Bud Light stand.
Guys, this is so funny and bizarre. Look at that. That is a Bud Light. That is every single Bud Light stand.
Look, there's no one. No one is going to Bud Light stand. There's lines for the stand right next door. No one at the Bud Light stand. That is not shocking. That is the way this is going to go. Because the American people, it turns out, we don't like having the fraying of the social fabric thrust directly in our face. So Bud Light is trying to walk it back. Keep it up. Keep it up, America, because this is necessary. Meanwhile, again, the gap between the elites who actively promote a culture in which the only thing that matters is that subjective feeling of inner sexual fulfillment, the gap between the elites and everybody else is growing and growing. This is particularly true in the fashion industry. So Anthropology has now jumped on the bandwagon. But the backlash is coming, too. So Anthropology released a photo shoot with a dude. This is a dude who is now wearing Anthropology dresses. Now, my wife loves this stuff in Anthropology. I will tell you one thing. We're not shopping Anthropology anytime soon. Because guess what? We are not fans of brands that patronize women by pretending that men can act like women or be women. It's ridiculous. And by the way, this particular Instagram post by Anthropology got such bad response, they had to shut off the comments. Here's the post. Here's this dude, and he's wiggling around, and then he's going to do this thing where he waves a dress at the camera, and boom, now he's wearing another dress. Isn't this amazing? Men wearing dresses. Ugh, the bravery. And now he's gallivanting around in another Anthropology dress. Women, wouldn't you like to look like this semi-muscular man gallivanting around? You don't feel patronized at all, right? Oh, and now he's wearing another dress. Isn't this exciting? Just really, really solid stuff right here. Again, the more that the left-wing culture decides to thrust their ideology of social decay in our face, the more people are going to fight back against it. And I am here for it, man. I really am. And you should be here for it as well. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. As Title 42 comes to an end and thousands more illegal immigrants arrive at the U.S. southern border, Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas says next week will be very challenging.
We have a plan. We are executing on that plan. I have come to McAllen and Brownsville to see firsthand that plan in action.
Officials at the border say it is not under control. A surge of Venezuelans moving through South Texas in and around Brownsville has occurred over the last 2 weeks. Mayorkas had no explanation. On Thursday, 4,000 of about 6,000 illegals in Border Patrol custody in Texas' Rio Grande Valley were Venezuelan. The head of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is stepping down. Rochelle Walensky is leaving the agency next month. She's been in the position since the beginning of the Biden administration. Georgia's governor is cracking down.
Brian Kemp has signed a bill into law creating a new commission empowered to discipline and remove wayward prosecutors. Kemp says the measure will curb far-left prosecutors who are making our communities less safe. The Prosecuting Attorney's Qualifications Commission will start accepting complaints October 1st. Georgia's law parallels efforts to remove prosecutors in Florida, Indiana, Missouri, and Pennsylvania. It's also part of broader disputes nationwide over how certain criminal offenses should be charged. All the efforts strike at the question of prosecutorial discretion, a prosecutor's decision of what cases to try and what charges to bring. Keith Peters reporting.
London's Big Ben is lit up in celebration of the coronation of King Charles III. Tonight, projections displaying roses, thistles, daffodils, and shamrocks are covering the landmark. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I don't know about you. It takes a lot to shock me these days. But to see our judicial system resemble a third world banana republic, to see trusted American companies embrace insane and destructive woke ideologies, is frankly depressing. We must fight back, and that starts with changing the way we spend our money. For years, big mobile companies have been dumping millions into leftist causes, and we had to take it because no other option existed. Well, now it does. Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative cell phone company, offers dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks so you get the best possible service in your area without the woke propaganda pushed by leftists working hard to destroy our country. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, the Second Amendment, and our military, veterans, and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Go to patriotmobile.com/Gorka or call 878-PATRIOT. Free activation with my name. That's patriotmobile.com/Gorka, 878-PATRIOT.
Para-Republicans have introduced a bill that would expand Stand Your Ground laws to all 50 states.
Senator Mark Wayne Mullen of Oklahoma and Congressman Matt Gaetz of Florida introduced companion bills on Thursday aimed at giving citizens in all states the right to use lethal force when being attacked. Says Gaetz, quote, "If someone tries to kill you, you should have the right to return fire and preserve your life." He also says the obligation to retreat from a potentially lethal attack is unconstitutional and should be abolished everywhere. Some version of Stand Your Ground laws are already on the books in 30 states. Bob Agner reporting.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says Disney's self-government is over. He signed a bill into law Friday that will void the theme park's development agreements approved by its previous oversight board. The new legislation will officially take effect in July. The back and forth between the two started last year when the companies spoke out about a law restricting discussions of sexual orientation, kindergarten through third grade. News and analysis at townhall.com. Protesters in New York are calling for an arrest in the death of Jordan Neely, the career criminal who was threatening subway passengers before being put in a chokehold by a fellow passenger. We hear more from Jennifer King.
A New York medical examiner's office ruled that Jordan Neely's death was a homicide from compression of the neck. Groups of protesters in New York are demanding charges. Witnesses say Neely was acting erratically on an F train in the New York subway Monday afternoon, threatening passengers and throwing garbage in his jacket when he was tackled by bystanders. Police questioned and then released a 24-year-old white Marine showed on video holding Neely in a headlock for at least 3 minutes. Prosecutors promised a rigorous investigation, and police are seeking additional witnesses, photos, and video that might help illuminate what transpired. New York Mayor Eric Adams said Thursday there were many layers to the incident, saying he respects the process. I'm Jennifer King.
The Marine says that he was defending himself after being threatened. More on these stories at townhall.com.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Hey, welcome. This is The Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Privacy is a right, not a privilege. Defend your rights at expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. Well, folks, Joe Biden and company, they keep telling you that your money is safe. And here's the reality. If you have your money in a bank, the money isn't just going to go away. The FDIC has basically now stated that they will fill in any depositors whose bank goes under. But that's not really the issue right now. The real issue when it comes to a lot of the regional banks is that people are taking their money out of the regional banks because the rate of return that you get on your savings in a regional bank is not nearly as much as the rate of return that you're going to get from a so-called money market account. When you put your money in a money market account, you're going to be getting like a 5% rate of return. When you put it in the bank, you're getting like a 0.1% rate of return after inflation, which means why would you leave your money in a regional bank? And the reason that those regional banks have to guarantee those low rates of return as opposed to higher rates of return is because they don't actually have the asset base in order to pay you at a higher rate. And herein lies the problem. Because if people keep drawing their money out of those regional banks, the regional banks are going to go under. If the regional banks go under, liquidity is going to start to dry up. If the liquidity starts to dry up, there's no more investment in businesses. If the investment in businesses stops, you have the 2007-2008 recession all over again. According to USA Today, story by Swapna Venugopal Ramaswamy, with the failure of three regional banks since March and another one teetering on the brink, will America soon see a cascade of bank failures? Bloomberg reported Wednesday that San Francisco-based PacWest Bancorp is mulling a sale. Last week, First Republic Bank became the third bank to collapse. That's the second largest bank failure in American history after Washington Mutual, which you'll remember collapsed in 2008. After the demise of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank in March, a study on the fragility of the U.S. banking system found that 186 more banks are at risk of failure, even if only half of their uninsured depositors. Again, those are the people who stand to lose a part of their deposits if the bank fails, right? People who have more than $250,000 in their account at these banks, because the FDIC is only supposed to insure up to $250,000 of deposits. They're lying. I mean, they will now insure pretty much all deposits. But if half of those people decide to withdraw their funds, these banks go under. Most bonds are currently paying a fixed interest rate that becomes attractive when the interest rates fall. But the problem is that all of these regional banks basically trusted the federal government. Moral of the story, folks, do not trust the federal government, because the federal government is there to aggrandize itself at the expense of everybody else. So a bunch of banks took all of their assets, they put them in bonds, figuring that the federal government was not going to increase interest rates tremendously over the course of the next couple of years. Inflation was a thing of the past. We lived in the new modern monetary theory universe in which you could just spend endless amounts of money and inflation would never hit. Inflation hit. And now all of those banks have an asset base that is just garbage because the federal government has devalued the bonds in which all of those banks put their money and investments. As the USA Today points out, many banks increased their holdings of bonds during the pandemic when deposits were plentiful, but loan demand and yields were weak. For a lot of banks, those unrealized losses will stay on paper, but others will face actual losses if they actually have to sell those securities for liquidity or other reasons. So we could be watching a run on those banks pretty soon. And you can see that as the stock market opens. Regional bank stocks tumbled on Thursdays despite assurances from the Federal Reserve that the banking system was on solid footing. PacWest Bancorp dropped by about 50%. PacWest said in a statement after midnight Eastern time on Thursday that its core customer deposits were up since the end of the first quarter and that it hadn't experienced any unusual deposit flows since the collapse of First Republic. But that doesn't mean there won't be a run on the bank. Western Alliance is another bank whose stock has been hit hard. It fell by 38%. Christopher Marinac and analyst Jenny Montgomery Scott described the nosedive in bank stocks as a temper tantrum, according to the Wall Street Journal. But it's not really a temper tantrum when all of the regional banks are sinking all at once. In fact, there are so many short sales on these regional banks at this point that the federal government is thinking of coming in and stopping short selling. That is the rumor on the street today, is that the federal government is afraid that short selling is going to lead to a cycle wherein people start selling off the stocks in anticipation that these regional banks are going to fail. And if that happens, then the possibility of raising new liquidity through issuance of new stock goes away as well. This isn't the only risk to the economy right now. Again, these are all the wages of bad governmental and fiscal policy. When you inflate the currency with endless spending and shut down businesses for 2 years, when you decide that it is imperative to jack up the amount of money in circulation in order to, quote unquote, help the people at the bottom, even though those people are the hardest hit by inflation, the costs come due. In economics, gravity always applies. According to the New York Times, Amit Serra, professor of finance at Stanford Graduate School of Business, quote, our nation's banking system is at a critical juncture. The recent fragility and collapse of several high-profile banks are most likely not an isolated phenomenon. In the near term, a damaging combination of fast-rising interest rates, major changes in work patterns, and the potential of a recession could prompt a credit crunch not seen since the 2008 financial crisis. Back then, amidst a housing market bubble, lenders had handed out high-risk loans to people with poor credit histories. When the market collapsed, so did many of the banks that made those loans. That caused the Great Recession. This time, the epicenter is different, but the result may be the same. Lost jobs and widespread financial pain. And then this professor at Stanford Business School explains the rapidly increasing interest rates that are undercutting the asset value of all of these regional banks. And then he says there's another area of looming concern that could also spark a panic, the commercial real estate sector. Commercial real estate loans worth $2.7 trillion in the United States make up about a quarter of an average bank's assets. Many of those loans are coming due in the next few years. Refinancing at higher rates increases the risk of default. If a lot of people have taken out loans and then they have to refi those things and the rates are higher now because the interest rates are higher, then presumably a lot of people are going to go under. They're not going to be able to actually afford their mortgage in the commercial real estate sector. Rising interest rates depress the value of commercial properties, especially those with long-term leases and limited rent escalation clauses, which also increases the likelihood of owner default. In the Great Recession, for example, default rates rose to about 9%, up from about 1% as those interest rates went up. This time, the damage to the sector threatens to be far, far greater. The COVID-19 pandemic led to a huge jump in remote working, with over 40% of the U.S. labor force working remotely by May 2020. The return to in-person office work has been slow, so the commercial real estate sector is over-leveraged. Signs of distress are already visible, particularly in offices. By the end of March, the equity value of real estate holding companies, or REITs, focused on the office sector, had declined by nearly 55% since the beginning of the pandemic. And then there's a longer-term risk, too, says this professor. After the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank, the government took substantial actions guaranteeing all deposits, regardless of size, to restore trust in the banking system. But this creates a massive moral hazard. What incentive do bank executives have to take smaller risks with depositor money if they believe the government is going to simply protect those depositors over time anyway? So the systemic risks to the banking system continue to exist, and those are exacerbated by the fact that the government continues to spend endless amounts of money. We'll get to more on this in just a moment. First, this year, Israel marks the miraculous milestone of its 75th anniversary. The fact that this much-maligned nation has survived in the face of insurmountable odds is absolutely miraculous, inexplicable, coinciding with Israel's historic anniversary as the celebration of 40 years of ministry by the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. This benchmark is yet another shining example of God's unfailing faithfulness to his people. Today, thousands of Jews, both in Israel and in war-torn Ukraine, struggle to survive life-threatening situations that include extreme poverty, severe hunger, and violence in the form of conflict, anti-Semitism, and terrorism. These are the most vulnerable people. Among them are tens of thousands of Holocaust survivors and elderly Jews who will not survive without basic necessities like food. At this critical time, a gift of just $40 will help one person in need with an emergency food box and hot meals for 1 week. Today, we have a special matching challenge opportunity. Your gift will double in impact. A $40 gift becomes $80. A $100 gift becomes $200. Go to benfortthefellowship.org or call 800-331-3737. Make a gift of just $40 to the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. Help rush an emergency food box to those in need. Your special gift will double in impact to provide those in need with twice as much nourishment. That's benfortthefellowship.org or call 800-331-3737. Okay, so all of this, as I say, this economic crisis that is going to happen, it will, because there's just no way to avoid it. The only question is when. Exacerbating that is, of course, the government's wild overspending problem. Now, the reality is that one way that you could bring that back into focus is to cut the amounts of government spending. That's what this debt ceiling battle is all about. But the reality is that Joe Biden doesn't want to cut the spending. He wants to continue spending. They continue to maintain the radical Keynesian notion that the way that you maintain a thriving and healthy economy is to blow extraordinary amounts of borrowed money into the economy. But you don't need to do that right now. And there's a new unemployment rate out right now. And what it is showing is that the unemployment rate remains really low, that the jobs market continues to be incredibly robust, which means inflation is not going to come down anytime soon. That is particularly true, again, given the fact that Joe Biden maintains that he wants to continue spending endless amounts of money. The fact that he will not even discuss going back to 2022 levels of spending is an amazing predictor of exactly where we are going to go fiscally here. The Wall Street Journal points out, Greg Ip, that a debt deal would actually help solve the country's inflation problem, but the chances of a debt deal are really, really low at this point. Joe Biden simply wants to continue spending up the wazoo. He doesn't want to cut discretionary spending. He doesn't want to restructure entitlements, nothing. In fact, it's become a taboo in American politics to talk about restructuring the entitlement programs that are actually driving the national debt in a major way. Meanwhile, Democrats keep saying that they really don't want to negotiate. Senator John Tester, Democrat of Montana, he says a default on the debt may actually happen. So we can stack that on top of the list of fiscal problems facing the United States.
What did McCarthy promise?
Exactly.
And I think that adds another sidebar to this that makes it more difficult.
Senator,
far more difficult and changes the landscape. I will tell you that before I was worried, because we have done this before, as you're right, Joe. But I'm going to tell you, I'm very concerned that there's enough people out there that want to see this default happen on our debt that, in fact, may happen.
Okay, well, if you don't want it to happen, you know what would be a great thing is put pressure on Joe Biden to come to the table and actually negotiate over the future of the economy in the United States. But he's not going to do any of that sort of stuff, John Tester. Democrats have no interest in doing that sort of thing. The game in politics is to avoid responsibility at all costs. When it comes to the economy, the reality is that a thriving economy with a serious future requires the government not to make endless promises and spend endless amounts of borrowed money and then inflate the currency in order to fill in that gap. But that's precisely what has happened here. And it's going to continue to happen up until we hit that cliff. And here's the problem. The reason that I can't predict a date is because it's going to look more like a cliff than it is like a gradual decline in the economy. It's not going to be a gradual stagnation of the economy. It is going. There will come a point where depositors are just not holding up these regional banks anymore and they collapse. And the liquidity dries up like that. And all of a sudden, things get real bad. So my advice, by the way, what I've been doing, diversify. Diversifying would be the smart move in this particular economy because no one's going to take responsibility enough to actually solve the problems, which is sort of the theme of today's politics, is it not? Avoiding responsibility at all costs. Speaking of avoiding responsibility at all costs, the city of New York continues to want to have it both ways. They don't actually want to police crime, but at the same time, they want to pretend that if they don't police crime, that there won't be people who try to defend themselves. In fact, the attempt by many mainstream hard left Democrats to normalize living in garbage conditions is truly amazing. It really is. And there's now an attempt to suggest that you are only a believer in equity if you are willing to allow yourself to be victimized on the subway. And this has become an actual talking point. Representative Jamal Bowman, Democrat of New York, he had some statements about Jordan Neely. We spoke about Jordan Neely yesterday. Jordan Neely is this 30-year-old, mentally ill, repeat criminal, 44 arrests, most recently arrest warrant outstanding for beating up a 67-year-old woman. And he was on the subway and he was threatening people and shouting in their faces and apparently preparing to get violent when he was taken down and put in a submission hold by a 24-year-old Marine. He then died. And so this has turned into the media's usual game of, is this systemic American racism? Is this all about the evils of white people? And as I said yesterday, it isn't about that. What this really is about is a city that refuses to actually police crime, because policing crime might look racially disparate. Here's Representative Jamal Bowman suggesting, of course, that this is indicative of the evils of the United States.
I'm born and raised in New York. I rode the trains my entire life as a child. You often see people who are unhoused have episodes. And I couldn't help but think of the, like, 10 other things that could have been done before this person decided to wrap his arms around Mr. Neely's neck and choke him to death. The entire world saw it. The entire world saw him be choked to death. It's on video. So let the DA do his investigation, but the investigation is going to include this video.
I mean, that's amazing. What else could have been done? Okay, first of all, there are plenty of resources for people who are mentally ill in the city of New York, at least in terms of having a homeless shelter or a place to go. The biggest problem is that people who are schizophrenic, people who need mental help, those people are not taken off the streets. Thanks to people like Jamal Bowman. And instead, the left has settled on a theory when it comes to this, which is that you, the normal taxpaying citizen of the United States, must undergo the gauntlet of being abused in public areas by people who are mentally ill, drug addicts, or criminals. This is something that absolutely must happen. We'll get some more on this in just 1 second. First, if you have a family like I do, you have dependents, you need life insurance. Because God forbid you're walking down the street and suddenly an asteroid starts plummeting directly toward you from orbit. You're thinking to yourself, because you don't have time to get out of the way, man, I should have listened to Shapiro. I should have headed on over to PolicyGenius.com. PolicyGenius was built to modernize the life insurance industry. Their technology makes it easy to compare life insurance quotes from America's top insurers in just a few clicks to find your lowest price. PolicyGenius has licensed agents who can help you find the best fit for your needs. They work for you, not the insurance company, so you can trust them to find you the best fit. They don't have that incentive to recommend one insurer over another. There are no added fees. Your personal details will remain private. With PolicyGenius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $25 per month for $1 million in coverage. Some options offer coverage in as little as a week and avoid those unnecessary medical exams. Your loved ones deserve that financial safety net, and you deserve a smarter way to find and buy it. Head on over to PolicyGenius.com or click the link in the description. Get your free life insurance quotes. See how much you could save today. Again, that's PolicyGenius.com, PolicyGenius.com, or click the link in the description. Get your free life insurance quotes. See how much you could save. Alrighty, coming up. Apparently, the left believes that you should be abused on the subway for the sake of equity. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hey there, Marty Mosley here from Mosley Family Cellars. Mimi and I have moved our tasting room back downtown to the corner of Pine and Butte Street across from Corbett's and the Reading Chamber of Commerce. We're open Wednesdays through Sundays from 3 to 7 p.m. and Fridays till 9 p.m. While you're here, enjoy food from the Hearth Kitchen and Pie Shop and munch on some delicious handmade chocolates by Nanette de Chocolate. Come on down and enjoy life with us, Mosley Family Cellars at the historic Thompson House. Come as guests and leave as family.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Hi, this is Cindy at Laux Landscape Supply. The sun is out just in time for our spring sale and your chance to save big on your home improvements. May 5th through the 14th, Triple 15 fertilizer is on sale for only $29.99 for a 50-pound bag. Have you tried our Garden Power soil yet? It will be only $51.99 a yard. 3/4-inch Cascade Rock is on sale for only $39.99 a yard. Been considering a pond? All products to build your new water feature will be 15% off. Pool sand for your above-ground pool is now only $31 a yard. Installing new or replacing your existing sod? Laux Landscape Supply will build a package customized with the right soil, sod, and fertilizer to make your yard the envy of the neighborhood, all while at sale prices. Whether you pick up or we deliver, we have the tools and the equipment to take you through your project from start to finish. The spring sale at Laux Landscape Supply is May 5th through the 14th. Check us out on the web at LauxLandscapeSupply.com. Give us a call at 378-2220 or just come see us at the intersection of Dersh, Churn Creek, and Airport Road. Laux Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the left used to suggest that one of the great benefits of socialistic policy was safe public transportation. Now, apparently, one of the benefits is public transportation in which you are regularly abused. Roxanne Gay, who, again, there's a running gun battle over at the New York Times on who is the worst columnist. And there is rich competition over there. It's like the Kentucky Derby of terrible columnists. But Roxane Gay is definitely one of the front runners. She has a piece today in the New York Times titled, Making People Uncomfortable Can Now Get You Killed. Quote, increasingly, it is not safe to be in public, to be human, to be fallible. I'm not quoting breathless journalism about rising crime or conservative talking points about America falling into ruin. The ruin I'm thinking of isn't in San Francisco or Chicago or at the southern border. The ruin is woven into the fabric of America. It's seeping into all of us. All across the country, supposedly good, upstanding citizens are often fatally enforcing ever-changing arbitrary and personal norms for how we conduct ourselves. And then she writes about a series of events in which people engage in no crime, as in the case of Ralph Yarrell in Kansas City, or somewhat minor crime, as in the case of a person who shoplifted and then ended up getting shot. But then she gets to Jordan Neely. Quote, on Monday, Jordan Neely, a Michael Jackson impersonator, experiencing homelessness. This is, everything is passive. Right? And now everything is you are unhoused. If you're a mentally ill person who's living on the streets, not because there are no homeless shelters, but because the city will allow you to live on the streets and you do so, you are now experiencing homelessness or you're unhoused. It's somehow the fault of the society for not giving you a house or something. He was yelling and, according to some subway riders, acting aggressively on an F train in New York City. Well, not according to some riders, according to all the riders. I don't have food. I don't have a drink. I'm fed up. Mr. Neely cried out, I don't mind going to jail and getting life in prison. I'm ready to die. Was he making people uncomfortable? I'm sure he was. But his were the words of a man in pain. He did not physically harm anyone. I mean, avoid all the reports of Jordan Neely apparently attempting to push people onto the subway tracks over the course of the past few weeks. The consequence for causing discomfort isn't death, unless, of course, it is. A former Marine held Mr. Neely in a chokehold for several minutes, killing the man. News reports keep saying Mr. Neely died, which is a passive thing. We die of old age. We die in a car accident. We die from disease. When someone holds us in a chokehold for several minutes, something far worse has occurred. Well, I mean, first of all, we're going to have a medical examiner, I am sure, who's going to have to determine whether an underlying condition led to Neely's death. Meaning that a normal person who's placed in a submission hold gets knocked out, they don't die. To be truly civilized means that you, as an innocent law-abiding citizen, you must accept being abused. I want to show you some video. This is from 2022. This is what riding the subway in New York is actually like. You can see people moving down the subway away from a person who is, and then who is, this looks like a black woman literally grabs the hair of another person of color who's sitting there saying, help me. No one's helping her. No one's helping her. This young woman is now grabbing her by the hair and then throwing her. And now walking down the car, shouting at herself. Now climbing the window of the subway, trying to kick out the window of the subway. This is it's sort of a recidivism to the bad old days of the 1960s, 70s, and 80s in New York City that led to the election of Rudy Giuliani and then a crime decline in the city of New York. But this is what is being normalized. And again, it makes you a good person to accept it. So, for example, there's a woman named Emma Vigeland. She's on the Majority Report, I guess. And she had a clip going viral today talking about how if you want to feel safe on public transit, this is bourgeois. And you have to suppress those bourgeois feelings. You have to make yourself feel okay about being abused on the public transportation system.
I was hit at one point sitting on the subway by a man who was having a mental health episode. He sat next to me and he was elbowing and kind of flailing around and hit me in the face and in my body. And it was jarring, right? The idea that I would want him to be hurt in any way, I just didn't want to be near him in that moment because I understood something was going on here. But like, my fear is not the primary object of like what we should be focusing on right now. It's the fact that this person is in pain. And so like the politics of dehumanization privileges the bourgeois kind of concern of people's like immediate discomfort in this narrow, narrow instance as opposed to larger humanity and life. It's really freaking twisted.
You are expected by the hard left to now undergo being abused on the public transit system in order to create a more diverse and wonderful society. I mean, good luck with this pitch, guys. Seriously, good luck to you in all your future endeavors. Because let me tell you something that nobody likes. Right, left, center, being yelled at, beat up, assaulted on the subway system. Nobody likes that crap. Nobody's into it. So if this is the new idea, is that to be tolerant, diverse, and humane, you have to allow yourself to be abused by schizophrenic homeless people and drug addicts, then I wish you all the best. Already coming up, apparently only certain types of people dying on the subway is a story. We'll get to that in a moment. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The Riverfront Playhouse presents Rabbit Hole. Written by David Lindsay Abair and directed by Samantha Fork. Experience this Pulitzer Prize-winning play that explores the emotional aftermath of a family's tragic loss and their struggle to cope with grief and find a way to move forward. April 21st through May 6th at the Riverfront Playhouse in downtown Reading. Tickets available at riverfrontplayhouse.net or enjoy the store Reading. Rabbit Hole is sponsored by this amazing station and other pro-arts businesses.
What's being hidden from us? About the COVID-19 scenario? About covert climate engineering operations that are wreaking havoc with weather all over the world? About the totality of unfolding and accelerating global environmental collapse? If you're willing to face and investigate shocking, verifiable realities that mainstream media sources and their distract and divide talking heads will never tell you, tune into the commercial-free, non-political Global Alert News Hour, Saturday at 11 a.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle. From your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between, we make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary. You just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You get to enjoy a free beverage with free Wi-Fi and earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that is a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palisadro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Reading on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by your friends at the Reading Civic Auditorium. For tickets and show info, visit ReadingCivic.com and Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlu's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco and Brew.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in the Jefferson State of Mind.
down.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So apparently, according to the left and according to the media, only certain types of people dying on the subway is a story. The New York Post has a piece by Nicole Jalinas pointing out that 27 people were violently killed on the subway system in New York City since March of 2020. No progressive outrage. Why? Well, because this one fit the narrative. The narrative was white man, black quasi-victim. Before Neely's death, 27 people lost their lives to murder in the subway. Many of them, like Neely, were homeless young people. Before 2019, it took 15 years for New York to rack up 28 murders on the subway, not three. As Nicole Jalinas points out, where were AOC and all of her fellow leftists when homeless soccer player Akeem Loney, 32, was murdered by a stranger as he slept on the subway in November 2021? Where were they when Claudine Roberts, 44, also sleeping on the subway, was fatally knifed by a stranger earlier that year? I mean, the answer is nowhere. Because that's the way this works. If it fits the narrative, then it becomes a national news story. But the underlying theme to all of this is that you, as a civilized human being, are expected to simply avert your eyes when it comes to crime, when it comes to homelessness, when it comes to odd, terrible behavior, all in the name of, as I say, often atomistic individualism. Somebody else is living their happiness. And if they impose on your space, well, it's your job to simply stand back and allow that to happen. Which presumably is why you have, I mean, it. This presumably is why you have San Francisco now having to deploy the National Guard, according to the New York Post. Things have gotten so bad in San Francisco that they've now brought in the National Guard and California Highway Patrol this week to combat trafficking and drug-addled zombies in the city. 4 days later, sources told the Post deals are still going down in the streets anyway. The struggling city has finally announced it would take a tougher stance on crime after an exodus of retailers plagued by theft, dwindling tourism, and 200 overdose deaths in 3 months. Mayor London Breed said using CHP officers and the National Guard as support to curb drug trafficking is the aggressive step the city needed to take. But remember, one of the reasons that this is happening overall is because of the tolerance for drug-addled behavior on our streets and the tolerance for drug use overall in our society, which has risen in tremendous fashion. By the way, this is not unlinked. A lot of this is linked to the rise in marijuana use. This has become a taboo subject because back in the 1990s, you were a fuddy-duddy if you said that marijuana use was bad and that actually marijuana could be addictive to people. And if you suggested that marijuana use was both a gateway drug and also addled people, if you said any of that when I was growing up, right, in the late 90s, early 2000s, you said any of that stuff, you were uncool. That was the thing you weren't allowed to say. Marijuana was exactly the same as alcohol, except milder and with some mild health benefits. There's only one problem with that, which is absolute tripe. It is nonsense. It is not true. Pretty much all the warnings of those conservative fuddy-duddies have now come true. According to the UK Daily Mail, marijuana may be driving a surge in schizophrenia cases among young men, a major government-funded study suggests. Researchers backed by the National Institute on Drug Abuse estimated 30% of all schizophrenia cases in men aged 21 to 30 are linked to cannabis addiction. Overall, across all age groups, the analysis of 6 million people found 15% of diagnoses in men and 4% in women could be attributed to the drug. Dr. Nora Volkel, NIDA director and co-author of the study, said the results called for urgent action and demanded people think twice before smoking marijuana. But we were told that, again, marijuana is the cool kid cigarette. And cigarettes are really bad. You can't have those smoked in public places, but you can walk through Denver and the entire city is now covered in a smog like blanket of marijuana smoke. And all of that is supposedly good. It was a lie. Okay. All of this was a lie. The idea that schizophrenia and marijuana were not linked, or that it was non-addictive. It was just not true. Another study shows that teens who smoke cannabis are 6 times more likely to get schizophrenia. But again, this was supposed to be an activity linked to personal fulfillment. So you have a drug-addled generation of people. They are high on everything from marijuana to Adderall, who are told by their elders that this is the highest expression of individual autonomy and that all of society must make way for their personal behavior. And then we are surprised when our cities are falling apart? This should not be a shock at all. Get some more on this in just one moment. First, if you own a small business, you know the value of your time. Innovation Refunds understands what your time means. No matter how busy you are, they've made it easy to apply for the Employee Retention Credit, or ERC. Your business may be eligible for a payroll tax refund of up to $26,000 per employee kept on payroll during COVID-19. Innovation Refunds has already helped clients claim over $3 billion in payroll tax refunds through the ERC. They might be able to help your business, too. There's no upfront charge. They don't get paid until your business gets its refund. Many businesses believe they won't qualify based on incomplete or outdated information. So don't let the opportunity pass you by, because the payroll tax refund, it's only available for a limited amount of time. If you paid too much money to the federal government over the course of the last few years, meanwhile they were screwing you with inflation and with COVID shutdowns, well, wouldn't now be an amazing time to get back some of that money? Go to GetRefunds.com to get started. In less than 8 minutes, you can see if your business qualifies for ERC assistance. Again, go to GetRefunds.com. It's been a rough time for a lot of businesses. If you can claw back money you shouldn't have paid to the federal government in the first place, why wouldn't you just go do it? Go to GetRefunds.com right now. Again, that's GetRefunds.com right now to get started in less than 8 minutes. See if your business qualifies. And there's a philosophical underpinning to everything that is happening with our younger generation, ranging from the skyrocketing rates of mental illness to homelessness to drug use. There's something going on in our society, and that is the complete fragmentation of the social fabric, the exploding of our social fabric, the exploding of the idea of norms, of decency itself. This, I presume, is why the Surgeon General has now put out a report, Surgeon General of the United States, has now put out a report on what he calls the epidemic of loneliness and isolation. Now, first of all, the Surgeon General is doing like an amazing job. And you isolate everybody in their home for 2 years, and then you put out a report on the surging epidemic of loneliness. And well done, everyone. Just genius level stuff here from the Surgeon General. First of all, this is not a public health issue, loneliness. It isn't. It's a spiritual issue. It has public health ramifications, but it's a spiritual issue. But what's hilarious about this report is that the Surgeon General looks everywhere, including under the bed, for the sources of all of these problems. But never at any point does the government suggest, oh, maybe it was us. Maybe us undermining the social fabric, both economically and in terms of communal standards. Maybe that is part of the problem. So Vox.com sums up what is in the Surgeon General report on the epidemic of loneliness and isolation. They say that loneliness and social disconnectedness are a serious threat to physical and mental health. It says social isolation effects on mortality are equivalent to smoking up to 15 cigarettes a day. Social isolation, an objective measure of lacking connection to family, friends, and community, and loneliness, a subjective measure of feeling disconnected, contribute to a person having a higher risk of heart disease, stroke, anxiety, depression, and dementia, and make people more susceptible to infectious diseases. And this ripples out to the broader community. So the main takeaways of the report include the idea that, one, Americans are lonelier and more isolated than ever. Half of Americans say they experience loneliness, according to several recent surveys. Less than 40% said in a 2022 study they felt very connected to others. In the 1970s, almost half of Americans, 45%, said they could generally trust other people. Today, less than a third say the same. The amount of time Americans say they spend alone every day has risen by nearly 30 minutes from 2003 to 2019, and then increased another 20-plus minutes in 2020, which was during the pandemic. The amount of time young people aged 15 to 24 spend with their friends in person dropped by nearly 70% from 2003 to 2020. Some of the risk factors that make you more prone to loneliness and isolation include, quote, being a racial or ethnic minority or identifying as LGBTQ, experiencing discrimination, having a lower income, and living alone. Well, I mean, perhaps the correlation is reversed. I mean, perhaps this is not because of this. Maybe it's not your race that is leading to a sense of isolation. Maybe it's the social breakdown in communities that are disproportionately minority that is leading to a sense of isolation. It's a correlation. The causation doesn't run from society's discriminating against you, and therefore you're isolated. Maybe it's that there are underlying social ills that are leading to this epidemic of loneliness and isolation. The second big takeaway from this report is that loneliness and social isolation negatively affect a person and a community's health, which, of course, we already knew. And then the Surgeon General suggests how the United States can begin to address its loneliness epidemic. So they recommend 6 pillars. You ready for these? 1, strengthen the social infrastructure, more communal spaces, more social activities, better infrastructure to help people access them. Oh, so like midnight basketball, that'll solve it. 2, develop pro-connection public policies that account for the need to foster connection. From transportation to education, maybe public transit will do it. Public transit, more subways and buses. Because as we've seen on our subways, things are going amazing. Did you see the sort of social connectedness that you were looking for in that subway? Where people were being grabbed by the hair and dragged around? mobilizing the health sector, training healthcare providers to identify people at risk of isolation, and better equip providers to connect patients with the other forms of social support they may need. Reform the digital environment by requiring more transparency from big tech. Deepening our knowledge. Ah, well, that obviously means more government-funded studies. And cultivating a culture of connection using all the vectors available from politics to entertainment to reinforce the values of connection and reduce polarization. Okay, so you may notice that there is one thing above all that the government really should be doing when it comes to reducing isolation and loneliness. One thing above all, and that is to go away. The government should go away because the government has created a destructive cycle that has replaced the social fabric in the first place. We'll get to more on this in just one second. First, if you have a family like I do, you have dependents, you need life insurance. Because God forbid you're walking down the street and suddenly an asteroid starts plummeting directly toward you from orbit. You're thinking to yourself, because you don't have time to get out of the way. Man, I should have listened to Shapiro. I should have headed on over to PolicyGenius.com. PolicyGenius was built to modernize the life insurance industry. Their technology makes it easy to compare life insurance quotes from America's top insurers in just a few clicks to find your lowest price. PolicyGenius has licensed agents who can help you find the best fit for your needs. They work for you, not the insurance company, so you can trust them to find you the best fit. They don't have that incentive to recommend one insurer over another. There are no added fees. Your personal details will remain private. With PolicyGenius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $25 per month for $1 million in coverage. Some options offer coverage in as little as a week and avoid those unnecessary medical exams. Your loved ones deserve that financial safety net, and you deserve a smarter way to find and buy it. Head on over to PolicyGenius.com or click the link in the description. Get your free life insurance quotes. See how much you could save today. Again, that's PolicyGenius.com, PolicyGenius.com, or click the link in the description. Get your free life insurance quotes. See how much you could save. Already coming up, the Surgeon General has suggested that social isolation is a mental health crisis. Well, here is the thing. It is, but that is happening because of government. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
The Vaisakhi Festival and Day of Nonviolence is Saturday, May 6th from 10:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Sikh Center at 5400 Sikh Center Drive in Anderson. This free event is an important multicultural and educational event in Shasta County, organized by the Sikh Center. The Vaisakhi Festival will feature multiple vendors, workshops, and live demonstrations. Come enjoy free Punjabi food and multicultural music while learning about the Sikh history, Sikh martial arts, and Native American practices. The Vaisakhi Festival will present speakers from various agencies. It's free and open to the public, and free activities for kids. The Vaisakhi Festival and Day of Nonviolence, Saturday, May 6th at the Sikh Center at 5400 Sikh Center Drive from 10:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. This event is co-sponsored by the United Way, Shasta County Citizens Advocating Respect, Reciprocca, Shasta Interfaith, and KCNR Radio.
It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at shastacollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at shastacollege.edu.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, the federal government has now put out a report suggesting that social isolation is a crisis. That's true. It's your fault. Here's the deal, guys. Leave people alone and let people go back to church. There are a couple of major things that have happened via the government that have destroyed the social fabric in this country over the course of the last 60 years. One is the replacement of social connection with government incentive structures. And I'm talking economically speaking. See, in a normal religious community, the way that it works is that you demonstrate you have skin in the game. The skin in the game is you go to church, you go to synagogue, you engage with your community, you're part of the PTA, right? And by showing that you have skin in the game, what this means is that when you fall on hard economic times, your friends help out. Your family helps out. Your kinship structure helps out. This is traditionally how communities were built. The government came in and said, this is unfair. We don't like this anymore. Because what it's basically saying is that you have to buy into the system in order for you to receive back. Now, the government replaced that with a new deal, which is, you have to buy into the government system in order to receive back. If you really want to receive, then you have to give all authority to the government and you have to cut out the social fabric, which is precisely what people did. Again, all of the economic support systems that were built, rooted in duty, right? The entitlements that you got were just an aspect of the duty that you had to the community. And if you disconnected the strings between you and the community, well, the entitlements went away. What this meant is that people actually were able to balance the entitlements and the duties. Well, when the government came in and said, you have no more duties, not to your friends, not to your family, not to anybody. The government is just going to pay for you. What it did is it destroyed the economic incentive structure for people to join religious communities, and it fragmented these communities. And you may think, well, you know, that's better because now people are liberated. Question, do people feel liberated or do they just feel atomistically divided from the rest of society? The evidence is in and the evidence is clear. So that's problem number one. The government, through welfare programs, has basically destroyed all social incentives for kinship structures, community networks, and religious communities. That's one. Two, the government has actively promoted a social culture in which subjective individualism is the only way to think about yourself. The way you are supposed to think about yourself is not with regard to your community. The government will step in and tell you that your local community is not allowed to regulate itself along homogenous lines, ideologically homogenous lines. You live in a religious community and you don't want that weed shop opening in your neighborhood. Well, the government may have something to say about that. You live in a religious community and you don't want a strip club opening down the street, well, you know, that may be a violation of free speech. It might be. And this kind of destruction of the social fabric by the government and then the consequent atomization of society, not particularly shocking. That, of course, has been exacerbated by other features of the American landscape, including social media, which has allowed people to abandon those local in-person structures where you actually feel social connection. Right, the place where I feel the most social connection on a personal level, and this is true for virtually everybody in the Orthodox Jewish community, for example, is Sabbath. On Sabbath, you go to shul. At shul, you hang out with your friends. Your kids, it's your friends' kids. You spend literally the entire day being part of your community. And then if you are part of a robust Orthodox community, it's not only on Sabbath. But this is, of course, true of Christians on Sunday. This is why the idea of blue laws and Sabbath laws, in which people basically took off the day, that was a very good thing, societally speaking. And we got rid of all of that stuff. And we replaced that with this idea that you can make friends all across the country, right? You can do this using Facebook. You can do this using social. Well, those aren't friends. Those are just people who are online and lonely and bored, just like you. And they have no actual stake in you because you have no duty to them. See, the thing is, if you actually wish to create a social fabric, it is reliant not on goodwill. It is reliant on goodwill that is built upon a mutual sense of values, sharing, and duty. That is where the social fabric is built. See, I have goodwill for a lot of people out there, randos. I have goodwill for them. I give charity to them all the time. But let me tell you something. If they don't buy into the same dutiful system that I am a part of, the level of connection I have with them is very, very low. And the government has basically exploded that. The notion that you have a duty to your neighbor is now governmentally imposed by dint of the government gun. Right? The way that you're going to help your neighbor is by paying into the welfare system. And if you don't pay into the welfare system, the government will come arrest you for tax evasion. That is not the way that it typically used to work. The way that it used to work is, there were social pressures for you to join the religious community and be part of a purpose-driven community with a higher value system. And by doing this, this meant that you are now engaged with everybody else. The government came and they destroyed all of this. All the intermediate structures of society that sociologist Robert Nisbet talks about 50, 60, 70 years ago, all of those have been completely undone. And there's the Surgeon General being like, well, but if we do build some buses, then we'll fill that back in. Well, you know, the backlash to this is all starting now. Because it turns out that the crystallization of this atomistic individualism, the crystallization of this subjectivism, has now entered the advertising marketplace. And it was one thing when this was the soft background to our society. It was one thing when we could feel it happening. We could feel the social fabric fraying. But you didn't see somebody just whipping the social fabric in half right in front of you. When people could deny that this is what they were doing. When they're like, well, you know what? Yeah, the social fabric is getting, but that's just the natural consequence of development. That's just it's sort of a thing that happens. And I mean, do you really want to go back to the bad old days when you were expected to go to church? And that kind of soft inculcation in individualism, atomistic individualism without regard to community, that could happen. But when you see the culture in front of your face taking the social fabric and then just taking a box cutter and shredding it right in front of you, that's when the backlash begins. And this is what we are now seeing. So one of the reasons that you're seeing this with regard to Bud Light, okay, this is Bud Light is a great early bleeding indicator of this. So Bud Light was a great American company. It was a great American brand. It was a brand that was built on basically the flag and horses. That was the entire marketing campaign for Bud Light. It was the Clydesdales, right? That's what everyone remembered about Bud Light. These really cute commercials during the Super Bowl with the Clydesdales and some dude with an American flag. That was going to be Bud Light. And then Bud Light decided to hire, as an influencer, a man pretending to be a woman. And at that point, everybody went, okay, guys, we have nothing in common with you. Literally nothing. Not only that, we think that you are actively fostering the fraying of the social fabric. Because if we don't even share basic things like men and women exist, then we have nothing to share. And so Bud Light sales have absolutely cratered. And good for, honestly, good on us. It's an optimistic sign for American society. Good on Americans for not buying Bud Light. Apparently, their sales have dropped like 20%, leading the Anheuser-Busch InBev CEO, Michael Doukeris, to have to speak about the decline of Bud Light sales on an actual conference call. Here is what he said.
One challenge is what you call the misinformation and confusion that still exists. We need to continue to clarify the facts that this was one cam, one influencer, one post, and not a campaign. And repeat this message for some time.
Okay, so they're just going to keep claiming now that they have to back off this thing. They're going to say it was just one post, it was an influencer, it was not a campaign. Well, good luck to you. You're going to have to do more than that. I'm glad that you guys are backing off. I'm glad that you have realized that you can't go this far and slap Americans in the face with a wild bout of social leftism. But it ain't going to help. Bud Light sales apparently are down 26.1% for the week ending April 22nd compared to the previous year. They were down 21.1% for the week prior. In fact, here is some video from Fenway Park. There's a Bud Light stand over there. You can see it's a fairly busy park. There is no one at that Bud Light stand.
Guys, this is so funny and bizarre. Look at that. That is the Bud Light. That is every single Bud Light stand.
Look, there is no one. No one is going to the Bud Light stand. There's lines for the stand right next door. No one at the Bud Light stand. That is not shocking. That is the way this is going to go. Because the American people, it turns out, we don't like having the fraying of the social fabric thrust directly in our face. So Bud Light is trying to walk it back. Keep it up. Keep it up, America, because this is necessary. Meanwhile, again, the gap between the elites who actively promote a culture in which the only thing that matters is that subjective feeling of inner sexual fulfillment, the gap between the elites and everybody else is growing and growing. This is particularly true in the fashion industry, so Anthropology has now jumped on the bandwagon. But the backlash is coming, too. So Anthropology released a photo shoot with a dude. This is a dude who is now wearing Anthropology dresses. Now, my wife loves this stuff at Anthropology. I will tell you one thing. We're not shopping at Anthropology anytime soon. Because guess what? We are not fans of brands that patronize women by pretending that men can act like women or be women. It's ridiculous. Okay, by the way, this particular Instagram post by Anthropology got such bad response that they had to shut off the comments. Here's the post. Here's this dude, and he's wiggling around, and then he's going to do this thing where he waves a dress at the camera, and boom, now he's wearing another dress. Isn't this amazing? Men wearing dresses. Ugh, the bravery. Now he's gallivanting around in another Anthropology dress. Women, wouldn't you like to look like this semi-muscular man gallivanting around? You don't feel patronized at all, right? Oh, and now he's wearing another dress. Isn't this exciting? Just really, really solid stuff right here. Again, the more that the left-wing culture decides to thrust their ideology of social decay in our face, the more people are going to fight back against it. And I am here for it, man. I really am. And you should be here for it as well. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas is on the southern border as the end of Title 42 nears next week. While speaking from Brownsville, Texas, Mayorkas said the administration's offering expanded legal pathways for illegal immigrants. Close to 700,000 people are in Mexico waiting for Title 42 to end, a foreign population larger than Boston, Massachusetts. America's employers added a robust 253,000 jobs in April.
Friday's figure is evidence of a labor market that still shows surprising strength despite rising interest rates, chronically high inflation, and a banking crisis that could weaken the economy. The unemployment rate ticked down to 3.4%, matching a 54-year low. Last month's hiring gain compared with 165,000 in March and 248,000 in February.
Correspondent Jeremy House reporting. The job market has remained strong despite the Federal Reserve's efforts to hike interest rates over the past year to fight inflation. Layoffs still relatively low and job openings high. Florida has been named the number one state for education, according to a ranking by U.S. News and World Report. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says it has a lot to do with the state's school choice policies aimed at helping middle class as well as low-income parents get their kids the best education they can.
The money should follow the student, and so it doesn't matter where you come from, because we've been focusing on low-income families, as you should. I mean, the single moms who are able to get into a better school for their kid is a big deal. But at the same time, we understood that this is something that should empower parents across the board.
DeSantis told Salem radio talk show host Hugh Hewitt, Florida parents are given a choice in how they spend their education vouchers. It can go towards private school tuition, tutoring, and other kinds of education services. More on these stories at townhall.com.
In fact, the pain relief, it's natural pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com, and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
The waves were mighty and fierce as could be when my lady and I got lost at sea. We tossed and turned and we nearly drowned when my brave little boat went down.
Whoa, 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 no, none of that's true. You haven't had a date in a year or two. The sea was calm and the sky was clear and you crashed right into the pier.
Yeah, fine.
Accidents don't just happen in sea shanties, so Progressive Boat Insurance has you covered. Take as little as 4 minutes to see what you can save at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Coverage subject to policy terms and not available for all boats or in all situations.
Authorities were looking into possible casualties and damage after a strong earthquake hit Friday near central Japan.
Spokesman Hirokazu Matsuno tells reporters authorities are checking into possible casualties, putting human life first. He adds there are reports of one person in cardiac arrest and multiple reports of building collapses, but details are currently being confirmed. According to the U.S. Geological Survey's Earthquake Information Center, the 6.2 quake struck Ishikawa Prefecture at just past 2:40 p.m. near the central west coast of the main Japanese island of Honshu. I'm Charles Villadesma.
San Diego State structural engineering professor Robert Dowell went to Turkey 2 weeks after February's back-to-back magnitude 7 earthquakes to check out the damage to bridges. He found Turkey's bridges were designed with higher standards than the buildings, and none collapsed. News and analysis at townhall.com. A St. Louis prosecutor is resigning due to public outrage over her refusal to prosecute criminals.
St. Louis Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner says she will step aside on June 1st. The Democrat tweeted the news to city constituents Thursday, citing efforts by the state attorney general and Missouri's legislature to remove her and appoint a special prosecutor. Republicans, including Attorney General Andrew Bailey, say too many cases have gone unpunished. Supporters say Gardner championed police reforms but has been embattled since taking office. Judge Michael Noble ripped Gardner in court in April after an overburdened prosecutor twice failed to show up to court in a shooting case.
The circuit attorney's office appears to be a rudderless ship of chaos.
Republican Congresswoman Ann Wagner applauded her resignation, tweeting, St. Louis will be better off without her. I'm Jennifer King.
Georgia Governor Brian Kemp signed a bill into law creating a new commission empowered to discipline and remove wayward prosecutors. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
One 100 years ago, Simpson University began with the promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with the promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Today on the Matt Walsh Show, activists call for the end of armed security after a black trans person was shot and killed while trying to rob a Walgreens. Just as we saw with the Jordan Neely case, leftists believe that defending yourself and your property is the greatest sin of all. In our daily cancellation, the word homeless is no longer woke enough, apparently. A new term has been invented to take its place. We'll talk about all that and more today on the Matt Walsh Show. There have been many great speeches in American history. George Washington's first inaugural address, Patrick Henry's Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death speech, Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, Ronald Reagan in Berlin, Theodore Roosevelt's Man in the Arena. These were all triumphant, stirring, profound. They moved the hearts of men. They spurred citizens to action. They shaped history. And yet, of all those speeches, they all pale in comparison to this. She makes a good point, you have to admit. On second thought, I may have slightly overstated the case. At least I'll say that was more coherent than a Joe Biden speech. We can say that much, if nothing else. Now, that clip went viral yesterday without any real context. Millions of people saw this woman screeching incoherently and had no clue what she was screeching about or why. And usually I would say it's probably better that way. These people are always screaming about something. The precise details really aren't relevant. But in this case, it might be worth taking some of the background into account. That was an activist named Leah McGeever. She was addressing the San Francisco Board of Supervisors on Tuesday. If we can refer to that as addressing the board, that's how she was addressing it. McGeever was joined by a number of other LGBT activists who descended upon the meeting to protest the death of somebody named Banco Brown. Last week, Banco Brown, who is a trans-identified female, allegedly tried to shoplift from a Walgreens in the city. She was confronted by an armed security guard. Now, the San Francisco DA, Brooke Jenkins, says that the shoplifting at this point, when the security guard confronted her, quote, escalated into a robbery, which means that Brown used force, or the threat of force, because that's what a robbery is, legally speaking. The security guard responded by firing one shot at Brown, which killed her. Security guard was then taken into custody. The incident was investigated, and authorities ultimately decided not to press charges, concluding that it was self-defense. Now, given that this is San Francisco, okay, this is San Francisco, and the person who was killed was a black trans female, given all of that, we can be certain that they really would have liked to charge the security guard, and they would have charged him if they could find the slightest pretense. Okay, we can assume that they were sifting through this thing, looking for anything, looking for the smallest little hook to hang charges on, and they couldn't find it. The fact that even the San Francisco DA would call this self-defense is a pretty strong indication that it was likely not only self-defense, but an extremely clear-cut case of self-defense. As we know, the official legal bar for self-defense is set at a certain height, but the unofficial bar for self-defense against someone who belongs to three different victim classes is set significantly higher. And this security guard apparently cleared both the official bar and the unofficial bar, which is all we really need to know about the case. But that's not good enough for the leftist activists, because nothing ever is. And they've spent the last week protesting both the killing and the city's decision to not press charges. The activists have made it extremely clear. If the security guard feared for his life, that if his life was actually in danger, if he had reasonable fear for his life, which authorities have decided that he did, well, the activists say, well, then it was his responsibility to simply die. That's it. His life is less important than the life of a trans person, just as the lives of everybody on the subway train with Jordan Neely a few days ago in New York, all of their lives were less important than Jordan Neely himself. If he was threatening to hurt them, and he was, according to witness reports, it was their responsibility to sit there passively and allow themselves to be harassed and accosted and assaulted, potentially killed. I'll have more to say on this in just a minute after a word from our sponsor.
There's no denying it, gold is hot right now. Prices are soaring, and experts are predicting even more to come. Not so long ago, gold reached its all-time high of $2,069 an ounce, and now it's inching even closer to that number again. Bank of America, one of the largest banks in the world, is saying gold will rise further still to over $2,200 an ounce later this year. Well, gold is already a safety net for your hard-earned money, and now, when the stock market is all over the place and the value of the dollar is uncertain, being safe really counts like never before. Noble Gold Investments is offering a 5-ounce America the Beautiful coin for any qualified IRA. A solid silver U.S. Mint issued coin celebrating our national parks free with every qualifying precious metals IRA or 401k rollover. You can't go wrong with Noble Gold Investments. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and use Matt as promo code to get a free silver coin. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Investing involves risk. Past performance is no guarantee of future results.
One of the greatest sins, according to the left and the leftist religion, is the sin of defending yourself. An even greater sin, though, is the sin of defending your property. So in the leftist worldview, you can't even defend yourself, your own body, your own life, against someone who belongs to a privileged victim class. Well, how much more outrageous is it to them in that case, if you defend not just not your life, but, you know, physical property or merchandise? That's why activists in San Francisco are now calling for the abolition of security guards in response to this incident. Reading from a Fox report, quote, protesters held a rally Monday to demonstrate against the DA's decision. They called on Walgreens to eliminate armed guards, saying nothing in the store was worth Brown's life. Quote, it's insane that Walgreens has armed security. There's nothing in that store worth a human life. And Walgreens is not taking care of our community, according to Jessica Nowlin from the Young Women's Freedom Center, talking to Fox San Francisco. We demand an end to armed security. Now, I agree that stealing isn't worth the cost of a human life. So don't steal. you know, it's not worth your life. The left, as always, responds to an incident involving two people, which in this case is the robber and the security guard, by putting all of the onus onto one of the parties involved and none at all on the other. And the party that shares 0% of the blame is the party that instigated the incident and committed a crime and was both legally and morally in the wrong every step of the way. They're the ones who are not responsible at all. But there's a reason why activists respond to these kinds of situations by siding with the people who are clearly and totally at fault. Partly it's their rigidly hierarchical worldview, which places the life of a trans shoplifter over a male security guard, places the life of a black criminal over a white police officer, and so on. That's the hierarchy on the left. But it's also a reflection of their own dependence and immaturity. You know, they insist that it's never worth someone's life to defend property or products, ignoring that in this case, the security guard fired in self-defense, not in defense of Walgreens merchandise. That's why he was let off of, they didn't put any charges on him because they said it was self-defense. But even putting that aside, in fact, it is justified and worth it to use force to protect property. Our lives depend on our property. It's how we provide for ourselves and our families. If property is not safe, then people are not safe. If we cannot preserve property, we cannot preserve human life. The left claims that people need to steal from Walgreens to survive, and they're ignoring the fact that the thieves, they almost never steal the essential items that are needed to survive. They say that these are people who are starving and hungry and all of that, and they just need the essentials. But yet it's a funny thing, because if you go into any store in the city and you look at the items that they have to keep behind locked glass, because those are the merchandise that have the highest rate of being stolen, it's never like first aid kits and whole wheat bread and, eggs that they have to lock up. It's always makeup and expensive headphones and that sort of thing. Regardless, if theft is allowed to go on unfettered, the stores will close. They won't be able to keep their businesses open. And then nobody will be able to access any of those items. If people need, quote unquote, to steal from Walgreens because they need the stuff that Walgreens has, then they also need to shop at Walgreens, and they need Walgreens to be open, which means that Walgreens has to stay in business, which means that they have to stop people from stealing. By the left's own logic, Walgreens is protecting human life by using lethal force to protect its merchandise. Because by their logic, people depend on that merchandise to survive. And so if it shuts down because they can't stay open, because they can't sell the merchandise because everyone's stealing it, then that puts people's lives at jeopardy. Well, the problem is that people who contribute nothing to society and who have no children or families to support, and who have the luxury to live in whatever delusional utopia they've invented in their heads, they aren't able to understand this. They own nothing, and they do nothing, and they provide for no one, least of all themselves. They don't understand the seriousness of property rights and how our lives depend on those rights, because they are unserious people. And these are the people we are handing our country over to. Those who truly believe that hysterically screaming counts as an argument. I am very upset and therefore I'm right. My emotional state trumps everything. This is the kind of logic that they use. It's the kind of logic that my 3-year-old daughter finds persuasive. It's also the logic of a whole generation of grown adults. And the future of our country really depends on rescuing it from these people. We'll be right back with more after a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 855-51-BIBLE. That's 855-51-BIBLE. 855-51-BIBLE.
Next up, a viral video shows how bad Bud Light is actually suffering from our boycott. We'll check it out after this quick break. Stay tuned.
Goldleaf Nursery is back open and stocked up. Goldleaf Nursery wants to help you grow your own eatable grocery. Begin with the sweet taste of fresh fruit from fruit trees, blueberries, and strawberry plants. And now start preparing your garden. We have a huge selection of vegetable and herb plants, including flavor-filled heirloom varieties you can't find at the store. And we know a thing or two about this because we've been growing veggies since 1975. Spring has sprung, and it's time to add color to your landscape. The nursery is blooming with azaleas, clematis, phlox, candy tuft, perennials, and annuals. So saturate your landscape with color. Add yet another dimension to your landscape with statuary. We just received our new statuary order. Several different bird baths, fountains, and stepping stones. Come by and check us out at 6186 Churn Creek Road, a quarter mile from Airport Road. We're open Tuesday through Saturday.
Signs, signs, signs. That's right. Wonderland Signs has your signs. Big signs. We do them. Vehicle wraps. We do them. If it's a sign, we do them. Vinyl, paint, 3D murals, big, little, inside, outside, every sign you could want.
Sorry, Bob. Could we sign a monster truck read? Could you do that again?
When you need sign work, Wonderland Signs is the one. Featuring the highest quality materials, the longest warranties in the area, all at competitive prices. Wonderland Signs quality can't and won't be beat. From vinyl architectural to banners to magnetics, from 3D to vehicle wraps to sandblasted to murals. If it's a visual message you want to send, we can deliver. Plus, being that we are fully licensed, bonded, insured contractors, we can install them when other sign shops can't. We even offer financing on many sign types. Check us out online at WonderlandSigns.com or come by the shop on South Market and meet the Wonderland Signs staff.
Mention this ad and get 50% off any pair of magnetic signs.
Wonderland Signs, now celebrating 33 years in business in the North State with amazing attention to detail and quality service. Wonderland Signs.
Now at Turtle Bay Museum, tree houses. Look who's living in the trees. On display now through May 14th, featuring immersive and educational exhibits for kids and families of all ages. All about trees, animals, responsible forestry, sustainability, and more. Come explore the museum, forest camp, wildlife center, gardens, and more with the whole family. Tree houses. Look who's living in the trees. On display now at Turtle Bay Museum. Presented by Cheryl Bambauer. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Hi friends, RC with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Esteban Carreras Chupacabra, 10th anniversary. A medium to full-bodied gem. The 10th anniversary comes wrapped in an oily San Andres leaf. Nicaraguan filler and binder round out a beautiful, complex smoke. With notes of cocoa, pepper, nuts, and earth. Get yours today, Tobacco and Brew. Redding, California.
And we're back with the Matt Walsh Show. Latest on Bud Light here, Anheuser-Busch CEO Michael Dalkeris addressed the Bud Light controversy on an earnings call with investors Thursday, downplaying the brand's partnership with transgender influencer Dylan Mulvaney that prompted a boycott from conservatives. Dalkeris told investors there is misinformation spreading on social media about the company's team up with Mulvaney. We need to clarify the facts that this was one can, one influencer, one post, and not a campaign. The CEO said that Anheuser-Busch is providing direct financial support to the frontline workers impacted by the boycott, naming delivery drivers, sales representatives, wholesalers, bar owners, and servers. Well, impacted by not really the boycott so much as Bud Light and Anheuser-Busch's own marketing decisions. So this is where the impact originates, by the way. Dalkeris said the brewing giant will triple media spending on advertising for Bud Light over the summer, confirming reports that the company is planning a major marketing push to recover its brand. So they're still scrambling here as sales continue to drop significantly across the country. But probably the most significant sign of Bud Light's troubles that we've seen so far is this video that somebody posted, I think, to TikTok. And this is from a Red Sox game this week. And you can see how busy or not so busy the Bud Light concession stand is compared to all the other concession stands. Let's see that.
Guys, this is so funny and bizarre. Look at that. That is the Bud Light. That is every single Bud Light stand here at Fenway Park in Boston. Right? We're at the Red Sox game. That's what the Bud Light stand is.
Well, I guess it's not a bad thing if you're working the Bud Light stand. It gives you some time to take a nap and scroll your phone. That is rough. I mean, nobody drinking Bud Light at a baseball game. People are choosing to wait in longer lines than drink Bud Light. Like, I've never, at any stadium I've been to, football stadium or baseball stadium, I've never seen that. I've never seen, like, a massively long line at one stand and then nobody at another. So that shows you this is and it's especially terrible at a stadium because as much as I hate Bud Light and I hated it before it was cool to hate it because it's terrible. If there's one place where I would drink Bud Light up until now, it would be at a stadium because your options are limited at a stadium. And anyway, all beer tastes better at a stadium. At least I tell myself that to justify paying $27 for an 8-ounce pour. But either way, this is how bad things are for the company. And it's also why I think we should probably stop referring to it as a boycott, because it's not even a boycott anymore. It's actually bigger than that and deeper than that for Bud Light and a much bigger problem. So it's way worse than a boycott for Bud Light. It is really a rebrand, okay? And not a rebrand that Bud Light wanted. It is we have branded Bud Light this way. Based on their own choices, we have branded it this way. People aren't drinking it now, not because they're necessarily consciously trying to send a statement. I think all those people in line who aren't going over to the Bud Light stand, I'm sure some of them are thinking this as a boycott and they're sending a political statement. But I think much more it's just like Bud Light is lame now. It's lame. It's not cool. And your buddies will make fun of you if they see you drinking Bud Light, so you're not going to drink it. It has become cemented, I think. And I don't know how they recover from that. I'm not sure how they recover. It's one thing to have a boycott. It's another thing to be branded, and they are branded now. This is their brand now, and I'm not sure how you get out of that. The only way to do it would be, again, to explicitly apologize and completely backtrack. Now, they've already tried to backtrack, and they've tried to say they've issued statements that do everything but apologize. The only way to maybe shake this branding off of you, shake the stench off of you, is to directly apologize and to start branding yourself as the opposite of that. But they're not going to do that because then they're worried about the reverse backlash and they don't want to do that. And they figure, well, that's going to make it even worse for them. Because then it's like, well, if the customers are trying to win back, if they still aren't satisfied, well, it's like now we don't have them, but now we're losing. Now we have the left coming after us. And so they probably figured that they can't do that. There's really nothing they can do. This is how they've been branded. By their own choices, they've been branded this way. I can't think of another example where conservatives have been able to achieve something like this in the fight against corporate wokeism. It simply is one of the most significant victories in the fight against corporate wokeism. Maybe there's some competition for the most significant, but I'm not even sure what's competing with it at this point. Which maybe tells you as much about the Bud Light thing as it does about the parade of failures by conservatives up until now to land any blows at all against corporate wokeism. But this is a major blow. And I'll tell you something else. It is going to make brands in the future think long and hard before, promoting transgenderism. There'll still be brands that do it. There are going to be brands that have a heavily left-wing customer base. They're not worried about it. They're going to be brands that figure, well, they're way too big and powerful to worry about it, so they can do whatever they want. I think Bud Light assumed that about itself. It assumed wrong. There may be some brands where that actually is true, where they can basically do whatever they want. You know, if you're Google or something, you can pretty much do whatever you want. But there are a lot of other brands that, you know, they would be susceptible to something like this. They have a heavily conservative, or not even conservative, just like a customer base of average, middle income, you know, normal Americans. And they are going to be very, very hesitant, which is a good thing. Take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. Don't go anywhere.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
The Riverfront Playhouse presents Rabbit Hole. Written by David Lindsay Abair and directed by Samantha Fork. Experience this Pulitzer Prize-winning play that explores the emotional aftermath of a family's tragic loss and their struggle to cope with grief and find a way to move forward. April 21st through May 6th at the Riverfront Playhouse in downtown Reading. Tickets available at riverfrontplayhouse.net or enjoy the store Reading. Rabbit Hole is sponsored by this amazing station and other pro-arts businesses.
Hi, this is Cindy at Laux Landscape Supply. The sun is out just in time for our spring sale and your chance to save big on your home improvements. May 5th through the 14th, Triple 15 fertilizer is on sale for only $29.99 for a 50-pound bag. Have you tried our Garden Power soil yet? It will be only $51.99 a yard. 3/4-inch Cascade Rock is on sale for only $39.99 a yard. Been considering a pond? All products to build your new water feature will be 15% off. Pool sand for your above-ground pool is now only $31 a yard. Installing new or replacing your existing sod? Laux Landscape Supply will build a package customized with the right soils, sod, and fertilizer to make your yard the envy of the neighborhood, all while at sale prices. Whether you pick up or we deliver, we have the tools and the equipment to take you through your project from start to finish. The spring sale at Laux Landscape Supply is May 5th through the 14th. Check us out on the web at LauxLandscapeSupply.com. Give us a call at 378-2220 or just come see us at the intersection of Dersh, Churn Creek, and Airport Road. Laux Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
Gold Leaf Nursery is back open and stocked up. Gold Leaf Nursery wants to help you grow your own eatable grocery. Begin with the sweet taste of fresh fruit from fruit trees, blueberries, and strawberry plants. And now start preparing your garden. We have a huge selection of vegetable and herb plants, including flavor-filled heirloom varieties you can't find at the store. And we know a thing or two about this because we've been growing veggies since 1975. Spring is sprung, and it's time to add color to your landscape. The nursery is blooming with azaleas, clematis, phlox, candy tuft, perennials, and annuals. So saturate your landscape with color. Add yet another dimension to your landscape with statuary. We just received our new statuary order. Several different bird baths, fountains, and stepping stones. Come by and check us out at 6186 Churn Creek Road, a quarter mile from Airport Road. We're open Tuesday through Saturday.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and as a mom, some days are just easier than others. Maybe you're taking the kids to school and have a fender bender in the parking lot. Maybe you're shopping and you just realize you backed into a shopping cart, and that's when it's important to take it to someone that you trust, like Crossroads Auto Body Repair. They're located at 3045 Crossroads Drive. They also accept most major insurance companies, and they're available by appointment. You can call them at 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coach Mastro has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coach Master, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coach Master apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
132.
Thanks for listening to the Matt Walsh Show. All right, Planned Parenthood put out a PSA a few days ago trying to alleviate the stigma of executing your own child in cold blood. This is something Andrea Yates, somebody like that, would really appreciate. Let's watch that.
And after my abortion, I just started living my life.
Getting an abortion made me stronger. It took me a really long time to say I had an abortion, even as a doctor.
I was told this was going to be something horrible, but it felt like I saved my life.
All I could feel was relief, and I don't regret that.
It was an easy decision for me because the alternative wasn't an option.
I will tell any and everybody about my abortion.
I tell my abortion story because
I want to normalize abortion.
Somebody out there can't tell theirs. My story is just one story in the tapestry of abortion stories. And I think that if a lot more people would be open and listen,
that's how we can break down those walls and have these conversations.
And I can stand up straight, because who's going to tell me that my personal experience is wrong or invalid?
Even though it scared, can I say crap? Even though it scared the crap out of me, saying the word abortion, it heals me a little bit too. The scary part is just the stigma. That's it. That's a tweet.
I'm proud to share my abortion story.
I would answer the one woman's question. Who's going to tell you that your experiences are wrong? Who's going to invalidate your experiences? Well, I will. I'll tell you they were wrong. I'll invalidate them. The experience of killing your child was wrong. It was deeply evil. It's most likely the worst thing you've ever done in your life. I hope it's the worst thing. I don't know. It's hard to get worse than killing your own child. I think, in fact, yeah, it's impossible. And your experience of doing that was wrong. And now your experience of trying to convince yourself that it was not only a solemn, sort of somber necessity, which is how abortion was portrayed 20 years ago. That was the argument for abortion. Safe, legal, and rare, they said. But we want it to be rare. You know, it's a bad thing. It's a sad thing, they used to say. Nobody wants to get an abortion. No one's happy about it. We're not worried about rare abortions anymore. They're quite happy to have as many abortions as possible. Abortion now is something to celebrate. But she's trying to convince herself of that, and I will invalidate that delusion, because she also knows it's not true. In fact, early on in the video, we saw someone saying how happy they were while crying, and these were not tears of joy. It's a mantra. It's this kind of self-hypnosis that many post-abortive women who are on the left engage in constantly, and they're going to be doomed to this for the rest of their lives, sadly. Waking up every single morning, going to bed every single night, telling themselves, I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy. Because they are trying to numb themselves to the realization of what they did. And ignore the emptiness, this great hole in their lives. that the child that, you know, you should have a child. You do have a child. It's a dead child. Doing everything they can to ignore that. I'll have more to say on this in just a minute after a word from our sponsor.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, did you know there's a generic form of Viagra that works just the same but is 95% cheaper? And you can get it online? Just go to 4hymns.com/joy. Through Hymns, you'll get a free medical consultation, discreet shipping if prescribed, a 100% online process, and trusted generic alternatives to the name brands. Add up to 95% off. That's right. Get generic for Viagra, the same active ingredient as brand name Viagra, but for 95% less. It's the same medication, still prescribed by a licensed medical provider, but with zero copay, no expensive appointments, and no awkward face-to-face conversations. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, 4hymns.com/joy. That's 4hymns.com/joy for your free online visit. forhims.com/joy.
This is a report from the Daily Wire. It says, eighth graders had the lowest U.S. history scores on record in 2022 and among the lowest civic scores, according to the Department of Education revealed, which they revealed this week. The Education Department on Wednesday released the first federal history and civics testing data since before the COVID pandemic. The data shows that the last few years have erased the progress made since the 1990s on eighth grade students' knowledge of history and civics. Only about 13% of eighth graders met proficiency standards for U.S. history last year. 13%. 13% of eighth graders by these standards are proficient in history. Proficient means students can explain major themes, periods, events, people, ideas, and turning points in nation's history. Only 1% of students who took the test were rated as advanced in U.S. history. Only about one-fifth of students were proficient or better in civics. In addition, last year, more students also performed below basic levels in both U.S. history and civics. The data shows 4 in 10 eighth graders scored below basic in history, while about 31% scored below basic in civics. Eighth graders got an average history score of 250 out of 500, 5 points lower than 2018. They scored an average civic score of 150 out of 300, 3 points lower than 2018. So everything is headed in exactly the wrong direction. And that's why I always say that we see these kind of dumb guy on the street interviews that everybody does now. You find them all over YouTube where someone goes out, you know, goes out to the boardwalk somewhere down on the street, goes to a college campus and starts asking people basic questions, especially about U.S. history, geography, civics, you know, things like, you know, in what century was Abraham Lincoln president? Just give me the century, that sort of thing. And we find in these videos that people, it's really easy to find people who know absolutely nothing, apparently. They have almost 0% knowledge about civics, history, any of these geography. And we want to tell ourselves when we see those videos that it's kind of cherry picking and yeah, I mean, you could go out and you could interview 100 people and maybe you talk to 95 who are basically intelligent, pick out 5 who are stupid, string that together in a montage, and you can present things a certain way. But I actually think tragically and in a quite terrifying way that those videos offer a pretty accurate picture of American culture at this point. You know, there's a reason why it's so easy to do. It shouldn't be. Our society is, we have, on paper anyway, this is by far the most educated, modern Western society, American culture, this is the most educated society that's ever existed. But almost any 20-year-old that you come across had at least 13 years of formal education. And then millions more went on for advanced, what's supposed to be advanced, higher education. It's quite unprecedented in history to have a culture that is so educated on paper. And that's why it should actually be very difficult to go out in public and find grown adults who know nothing at all. But it's not. which tells us that the education system is an abysmal failure. And it's been trending this way for a long time. We could talk about why it's a failure. We've talked about that many times, but it is a failure. And that is actually, that's the first problem with the education system. The woke indoctrination, all the rest of it, it's a big problem. It's a major problem. That's reason enough to not send your kid to public school. But the first problem is that it's not actually succeeding in educating kids. Something to think about before you send your kids into that system. We'll be right back with more after a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month. And that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 855-51-BIBLE. That's 855-51-BIBLE. 855-51-BIBLE.
Next up, the media has focused on a new PC term. We'll discuss what that term is and why they have decided to use it instead of the other one. Stay tuned.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
Hey there, Marty Mosley here from Mosley Family Cellars. Mimi and I have moved our tasting room back downtown to the corner of Pine and Butte Street across from Corbett's and the Reading Chamber of Commerce. We're open Wednesdays through Sundays from 3 to 7 p.m. and Fridays till 9 p.m. While you're here, enjoy food from the Hearth Kitchen and Pie Shop and munch on some delicious handmade chocolates by Nanette de Chocolate. Come on down and enjoy life with us, Mosley Family Cellars at the historic Thompson House. Come as guests and leave as family.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Locally owned and operated for 27 years, La Cabana at 1335 Market Street invites you to stop by and enjoy authentic Mexican cuisine for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Open 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Closed on Sundays, La Cabana serves traditional dishes, homemade chili rellenos, carne asada, and carnitas. Dine in or take out. La Cabana, 1335 Market Street in downtown Reading. Call 530-242-1915. That's 530-242-1915.
Now, this is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right, even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up, fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Matt Walsh Show. One of the things that makes leftists so damned creepy, but also so effective, is their ability to rapidly adopt new lingo, replacing one word with some other nonsensical newspeak term, all at the same time. You know, all together they're able to do this. Virtually overnight, a word that we all had been using without issue suddenly becomes offensive, and some other term that was invented by leftist activists 19 seconds ago is put in its place. This process can happen so quickly that a word you said openly during breakfast might be a slur by the time you're sitting down for dinner. Meanwhile, a term that you never heard when you were eating breakfast might be ubiquitous by dinner time. Ubiquitous, at least in the media, pop culture, even if not among normal human beings. And think about how quickly gibberish like a Latin X showed up on the scene and was adopted by our institutions. Or consider how the term person of color entered the vernacular and supplanted the previous PC favorite, African American. So we've seen this process play out many times, and now we have a chance to witness it once again. While discussing and reporting on, and very often lying about, the death of psychotic violent drifter Jordan Neely, the left has collectively embraced a new label to describe Neely's living conditions, or former living conditions to be precise. There was a time, far less sensitive time, when he would have been described as a vagrant, or a transient, or a bum, or a tramp. You know, all these words have been used. All these descriptions, though, have long since been tossed on the linguistic ash heap. And we've settled eventually on homeless, which we all seem to agree sufficiently sort of captures the essence of the people who are living in this condition without being judgmental or insulting. You know, a homeless person is a person without a home. Why don't they have a home? Is it their own fault that they're in this situation, or are they victims of circumstance, or is it some combination of the two? Well, the term homeless passes down no verdict on those questions and isn't intended to pass a verdict on that. The word is neutral on why and only seeks to describe the what. It's a fine word. It's a word that worked perfectly fine. We didn't need a new one, but now we have one anyway. See if you can spot the language shift as we run through a few media reports. So this is from Axios. Jordan Neely, an unhoused man, died after being placed in a chokehold by another New York subway train passenger during an apparent mental health episode. The Guardian. According to new accounts, Neely, who was unhoused and a known Michael Jackson impersonator, boarded a northbound F train and began screaming about his distress. Philadelphia Inquirer. Jordan Neely's death was ruled a homicide after an ex-Marine held him in chokehold on the subway. Now it's sparking discussions on mental health care for the unhoused. The Intercept says, the NYPD's treatment of a white man who strangled Jordan Neely, an unhoused black man, on the subway is now is not how things usually go down. USA Today, Neely had been arrested 42 times since 2013, including charges of assault and transit fraud, but that many were for minor violations like having an open container of alcohol. Authority says it appears Neely was unhoused. So you probably picked up on it. It's not exactly subtle. And Democratic politicians have adopted this terminology as well. Here's Representative Jamal Bowman on CNN last night. Listen.
As a black man watching the video, and I have to force myself to watch these videos because each time there's a new video, there's more trauma that I feel. Eric Garner was choked to death. George Floyd had a knee on his neck. Philando Castile wasn't choked, but he was shot to death on video. And now, Mr. Neely, and you know, I'm born and raised in New York. I rode the trains my entire life as a child. You often see people who are unhoused have episodes.
Yes, remember that the next time you make the mistake of boarding a New York City subway train, when you see a drug-addled homeless guy randomly assaulting and mugging a commuter, nothing to be concerned about. It's just a person who is unhoused having an episode. Unhoused, right? The memo has gone out. Unhoused is the new Latinx. It's the hot new PC lingo on the market. And you want to get in on the action before it changes again, because yesterday the word was homeless. Today it's unhoused. Tomorrow it might be, dehoused. Then it will be person of an unhoused persuasion. And then eventually habitation challenged. And they'll realize that all this sounds far too negative still. And they'll want a term that sends the message that homeless people aren't really homeless at all. It's just that they don't have one single home in a fixed location. Right? Their home is everywhere. It changes. And they'll start using terms like house fluid and dwelling expensive. That's where this leads. But for now, unhoused is the new trendy thing. Why is unhoused preferable to homeless? Well, the website unhoused.org makes the case this way. It explains, quote, the label of homeless has derogatory connotations. It implies that one is less than, and it undermines self-esteem and progressive change. The use of the term unhoused instead has a profound personal impact upon those in insecure housing situations. It implies that there is a moral and social assumption that everyone should be housed in the first place. Well, how in God's name does the word unhoused come with moral and social assumptions that don't also apply to homeless, which literally means exactly the same thing? An article in Architectural Digest tries to flesh that out a little bit. It explains, quote, in Los Angeles, Mayor Eric Garcetti and some members of the city council have embraced unhoused. In Seattle, the city government uses the phrase person experiencing homelessness. The word homeless has become inseparable from a toxic narrative that blames and demonizes people who are unhoused, according to Eve Garrow, homelessness policy analyst and advocate for the American Civil Liberties Union of Southern California. Wait a second. The word homeless is dehumanizing, says the homelessness policy analyst. All right. The term is increasingly used in a way where it implies someone is dangerous or deviant, or devious, she said, or deviant. As a result, a less charged term is more apt. At the same time, a related term to homelessness, the homeless, has begun to be seen as othering. In May 2020, the Associated Press updated its style book to focus on person-first language. It said not to use the homeless, calling it a dehumanizing term, and instead used terms like homeless people or people without housing. Ah, you see, homeless is offensive. Offensive enough, but if you put the word the in front of it, suddenly becomes even more offensive. You know, that word the, very offensive word. Why is that exactly? And how can you change the narrative around a certain concept by simply swapping out one term for a synonymous term? And if attaching the word less to a person, homeless, has the effect of diminishing them somehow, then wouldn't it have the same effect to attach the prefix un? I mean, in what way is unhoused substantially or definitionally different from homeless? The answer, of course, is that it isn't different. The change is entirely arbitrary and meaningless, and that is exactly the point. If there is any real meaning behind the terminology swap, it's in the fact that unhoused sounds slightly more passive, I guess, than homeless. It sounds even more like something that would happen to a person without their involvement, really. As if they walked outside one day and turned around to shut the door and their house vanished. I've become unhoused. What happened to my house? The left seeks to remove the elements of personal agency and free will from all societal problems, especially homelessness or unhousedness. They don't want us to notice or acknowledge the fact that many homeless people are mentally ill. Yes. And many of them are mentally ill because their brains have been destroyed by drugs. And their brains were destroyed by drugs because they made the decision at some point in the past to start using drugs. Now, I'm sure that a large percentage of the homeless suffered misfortunes in their lives outside of their control. We all have. But personal choice has also played a heavy role in many of these cases. A person who makes good choices will almost certainly not end up homeless, except in very rare circumstances. The left constantly calls for nuanced conversations, but this is the actual nuance in the homeless conversation, and they refuse to acknowledge it. Okay, the unnuanced view of homelessness is that they're all victims, and that's it. That's the mainstream view, that's the acceptable view, that's the view without nuance. Well, they're all victims. The nuance is to realize that, well, that's not always the case. We're not allowed to see the homeless as anything but pure helpless victims through and through, though. There is no nuance to the picture that they paint. And that is partly what this unhoused stuff is all about, but that's all kind of secondary. Because even if unhoused has a slightly more passive, more helpless tone to it, the distinction is still mostly arbitrary, and the arbitrariness is the point most of all. As always, we find ourselves unwillingly in this giant game of cultural Simon Says, where they come up with new rules, new concepts, new language, and we're meant to follow along out of pure obedience. Now, I think I've used the analogy before of the prison warden in the movie Cool Hand Luke, who demands that Luke dig a giant hole and then fill it back in again. And that there's no point to the hole except to dig it. There's no point to digging it except to break Luke's spirit and get him accustomed to following orders. The fact that the order was arbitrary, that there was no reason to dig the hole, that the task assigned was so pointless, that's what made it an effective form of conditioning. It's one thing to use arguments to persuade someone to adjust their language or their behavior. It's another thing if you compel them to adjust their language and behavior, even if they haven't been persuaded. Okay, when you can get people to speak a certain way, even when they don't see any reason why they should be. Like, why can't I say this word? Why is this word better? Doesn't matter, just say it. Get people to go along with that. And there's a lot more power in that. And that is the truly sinister agenda behind this language policing that on the surface always seems so laughable and ridiculous. Which isn't to say that it isn't laughable and ridiculous, of course. And that is why, ultimately, the term unhoused is today canceled. And that's all we have for today. Thanks for listening. Talk to you on Monday. Godspeed.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. Five workers are hospitalized after a fire at a petrochemical plant in the Houston area. The Harris County Sheriff's Office says Friday's fire was at a shale plant in Deer Park, a suburb east of Houston. Five contract workers were transported to a hospital for precautionary reasons, largely due to heat. In an interview broadcast on KTRK, Harris County Sheriff Ed Gonzalez says a chemical process triggered that fire.
Most importantly, there is no off-site impact. There was no actual explosion. This was a fire. It was a heat exchange between two heavy gas oils.
A hearing will be held next week on a drug maker's request to sell its birth control pills over the counter without a prescription.
A review has been sought by drug maker Perrigo, which wants to sell O-pill without women having to get a doctor's prescription. Women have used the contraceptive for five decades, and the company says it believes it is safe for women of all ages. But details from the FDA's initial review find there were some problems among test participants, understanding and following the label instructions, and more concerns how that might work for teens. Reviewers also weren't comfortable that women with certain medical conditions would understand they should not be taking O-pill. The advisors will hold a two-day hearing next week. I'm Jackie Quinn.
The CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase is preparing to be deposed in lawsuits regards the convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. It involves the U.S. Virgin Islands and also an anonymous woman who sued J.P. Morgan Chase last year, accusing the bank of turning a blind eye towards Epstein's illegal sex trafficking. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
South Sudan says it's continuing to try and persuade the two sides fighting in Sudan to meet for peace talks.
The foreign minister of South Sudan, Deng Dao Deng, says his president, Salva Kiir, is still pushing for peace in neighboring Sudan. He said in a phone call to the military leader, Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, Mr. Kiir had said it was up to the two generals who started the war to end it. The fighting between forces loyal to al-Burhan and his rival General Hemeti is destroying parts of the capital Khartoum and causing misery for millions of Sudanese. Egypt and the United Arab Emirates are thought to have significant influence, but so far the generals don't appear to be listening to any calls for peace.
BBC's Will Ross. Meanwhile, officials say diplomats from Arab nations are planning an emergency meeting in Cairo over the weekend about fighting in Sudan and Syria's potential return to the Arab League. A spokesman for the Arab League confirmed Sunday's meeting. News and analysis at townhall.com. Hong Kong police seize a statue ordered torn down nearly 2 years ago.
The statue depicting twisted bodies became a symbol of freedom and was on display at Hong Kong University. Well, the authorities there took it down after Beijing tightened control over political dissent in the territory. It was dismantled and stored in a container, reportedly with 24-hour surveillance. Even in storage, it remained a powerful emblem. The artist who made it wanted it back, but now it's been seized, apparently as part of an investigation into subversion.
BBC's Michael Bristow. The Biden administration threatened to remove the accreditation of a hospital if they didn't remove a Christian symbol. St. Francis Hospital in Tulsa, Oklahoma, has been granted a waiver to continue to use the eternal flame. It's burned for 15 years in the hospital chapel. Lawmakers said the threat was a violation of religious freedom. More on these stories at townhall.com.
North State Now is a magazine-formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your host, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by your friends at the Reading Civic Auditorium. For tickets and show info, visit readingcivic.com and Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlu's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco and Brew.
Welcome, the Cinco de Cuatro. We are a day early, but we always like to get a head start here at the Obama White House.
Yes, getting a head start on Cinco de Cuatro. He just loves those breakfast tacos down at the Bogadas. Not a racist. See, you got... the old racist, not a racist game. And if you're a Democrat, it always comes out the same. It always comes out not a racist. It's kind of a fascinating thing. You know, the party of the Confederate States of America and Jim Crow. Always not a racist. It is good to be a Democrat. Yes, sir. Hey, it's Friday and it's Cinco de Mayo. You know, I think Cinco de Mayo is now second only to St. Patrick's Day when it comes to drunken debauchery in the United States of America. And Michael Piercy pumping his arms in the air. and more in America, you know, you can spend Cinco de Mayo or Cinco de Cuatro, as Barack Obama celebrates, speaking only Spanish. Certainly in Washington, D.C., everywhere you go, you can breathe pot in the air, get a contact high walking down the sidewalk, and speak only Espanol wherever you go, because the Democrats are making everything better. It's the fundamental transformation of America. And just learn to speak Spanish, as Barack Obama warned us long ago. That was a warning, it turns out. It wasn't just a little pleasantry. It was an actual warning from Barack Obama. And they're making it become a reality, aren't they? Yes, they are. Tomorrow, what do they have? The coronation, got the coronation, big horse race this weekend, and the coronation of, Prince Chuck will become King Chuck. Is he already King Chuck, but this is just a formality? I don't really know, I don't follow this, crown and, robe stuff, and besides, you know, they killed Diana. Yeah, I don't know, they didn't really kill Diana, but they did. You know, I met Prince Chuck. I've talked about it here once or twice, I think. I met Prince. He's going to be King Chuck as of officially tomorrow. And I met Prince Chuck, and I talked to him at Ronald Wilson Reagan's funeral at the Washington National Cathedral. And I saw Chuck standing over there by himself with a little minion rubbing his hands together and looking at his shoes. And I said, why is nobody talking to Chuck? And so I sauntered right up to Chuck and stuck out my hand and shook his hand and told him a little about the cathedral because, you know, I know he's an architecture guy. He likes architecture. Why not? What else does he have to do? So I told him all about it in the cathedral and the Canterbury pulpit, the pulpit there at the Canterbury at the Washington National Cathedral. It's made from stone, gifted to the Washington National Cathedral, an Episcopal cathedral, gifted from the vicars at the Archbishop of Canterbury at the Canterbury Cathedral. And so it's called the Canterbury pulpit. And in fact, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King delivered his last sermon from that pulpit before a Democrat Party campaign volunteer shot and killed him. That's right, James Earl Ray, another Democrat campaign volunteer, just like James Hodgkinson, who showed up in that baseball field with a Chinese rifle and shot Congressman Steve Scalise. But back to Prince Chuck. So I'm talking to Chuck, the ferret-faced individual that he is, and I'm telling him about the Canterbury Cathedral. And he looked down at his minion as though his minion were a stain on his shoe. And his minion looked down at the ground real hard, and he started shaking. He started quivering. I was like, oh, boy, I hope I'm not going to get him decapitated or anything like that. And then I explained that the cathedra, every cathedral has a cathedra. It's kind of a little throne where the bishop would sit, or the archbishop, if you please. And the cathedra at the Washington National Cathedral is also a gift from another cathedral in Great Britain, England, Merry Old England. And I told him that, and he looked at his minion again, and his minion shrunk into the ground. He dropped through the floor. Oh, sire, I'm sorry. And because he looked at him like he's supposed to be briefed on this stuff, and his minion didn't brief him. And here's me telling him about this stuff. And I said, have you ever been to our cathedral before? He says, no, it's my first time. It's my first time. And then when I was wrapping up with him, because I had to move on, I knocked his left shoulder with my right fist sideways, like a sideways. I bumped him on the shoulder with my right fist, and I said, glad I could help. This is absolutely true, 100% true. And I said, glad I could help, knocked him on the shoulder, and then I peeled off. Another handshake, last-minute handshake, and I peeled off. And I thanked him for being there like I was some sort of an envoy or an ambassador for the cathedral or something. But he was there all by himself except for his minion who shrunk into the ground. And then I walked over to talk to Gorbachev. You know, Mikhail Gorbachev was there. And then when I was done with him, and I called him Mr. General Secretary instead of Mr. President because I like to think of him as a communist. And then I turned and there was Lech Walesa, and I spoke to Lech Walesa. It was a well-attended funeral. It was a nice thing. But I digress. So Chuck, he is going to, not to be confused with Chunk, who is, of course, an NBC News anchor. I'm making quotation marks with my fingers. But Chuck, he's going to be the king of everything tomorrow. I guess that comes with all kinds of free stuff, I'm guessing. Probably pretty good health care, dental. Probably comes with the whole package, right? Parking, get good parking with that. They pay for it. And, it comes with all kinds of good stuff. Yeah, Chuck. I know Chuck. I know him from way back. If I ever did run into Chuck again, I would remind him that I briefed him on the interior of the Washington National Cathedral when he was there for Ronald Reagan's funeral. He was actually very gracious. He was very gracious and polite, except to his minion, who I honestly think was hanged outside the Tower of London when they got back because he didn't brief him properly. So we got that going for us. Now, I got a lot of Democrat crazy for you today because, you know, 21 hours have passed and they're crazy. And there are so many of them, they're crazy. You see, the mentally ill guy that was put into a chokehold on a New York subway train, the Democrats may have to burn the country down again because, you know, this guy is George Floyd Neely. I was already texting this morning. George Floyd Neely, his last name is Neely. And he was mentally ill and he'd been arrested. Yesterday I said 42 times, and I'd like to apologize. I was wrong. He had actually been arrested 44 times. And he was out. I think there was a warrant out for him because he had punched a 67-year-old woman in the head so hard that she has permanent damage. And the Democrats are big fans of this guy. They're on his team. They're on team him. And they want the now former Marine who restrained him and leading to his death. They want him charged. And the Reverend Al Charlton is on the job. You know, when the Reverend Al, he's going to trot out Tawana Brawley, I think. And did you see Reverend Al? He was, it's almost hilarious. I don't know how they make like killings on subways funny, but they do. And Al Charlton was on some hateful racist show on MSNBC last night. And instead of, he's like, well, they killed him and so there should be riots in the street. I'm paraphrasing. And then he said, he was doing Michael Jackson on the train. I don't think he was doing he made that up, doing Michael Jackson impersonation on the train. I don't think that's what got him choked. But he said he's doing Michael Jackson. And then he immediately started talking about himself and his personal relationship with Michael Jackson and how he gave the eulogy or something at Michael Jackson's funeral. And it's like, oh, well, as long as it's all about you. And it sounds like the big shakedown is coming. And he's threatening the whole nation because, you know, he has that kind of power. He wields that power. He's a major media figure. He became a major media figure when he was like a Macy's Day Parade blimp in purple velour with gasoline-colored hair, like Jen Psaki, and he trotted the Tawana Brawley thing out, and it was all a lie, but it was worse than hands up, don't shoot, but it was all a lie, the Tawana Brawley story, but it launched him to stardom and made him a millionaire, and the media still loves him because God knows they love a lie, don't they? Yes, they do. So I want to update you on that because it's a tragic story of a mentally ill person. I played the audio yesterday of the then President John F. Kennedy explaining that we had, 550 or 560,000 people in mental institutions in 1963 in the United States of America when we had a population of about 180 million people. And now we have a population of 330 million people, so add 150 million people. And now we have a small fraction of that number of people in mental institutions, and I know where the rest of them are. They're wandering my neighborhood, and they're on the subway trains in New York. And the Democrats like it that way because, you know, they are Democrat voters. Let's keep that in mind. So we got that going. And now the biggest scandal of the year, I think, was broken by my friend John Solomon last night at Just the News with an email showing, now yesterday, just as in the last hour of our big radio broadcast yesterday, I shared with you that the four members of the Proud Boys, who they call an extreme right-wing group, including their leader, Enrique Tarrio, who's a black Cuban-American and a patriotic guy, and he wasn't even in Washington, D.C. on January 6th. But he was convicted by a kangaroo court in Washington yesterday, along with three other members of the Proud Boys. And they're presumably going to prison because that's what the left does to their political enemies everywhere in the world. And the left is here. And they're convicted of seditious conspiracy. Seditious conspiracy, right? Now, if you want to know what a seditious conspiracy is, look no further than John Solomon's reporting yesterday. Because the former deputy director of the CIA and one-time acting director of the CIA, Mike Morrell, sent an email to penitentiary face John Brennan, who, of course, voted for the Communist Party candidate for the presidency of the United States, Gus Hall, proudly. So I'll score him as a communist. Check. You know, we're checking boxes over here, right? You know, and Al Sharpton, purple velour, gasoline-colored hair. Racists, bomb thrower, and he's threatening the country now. Where do you hear this stuff? But penitentiary face Brennan jumped on that bandwagon. It turns out we now know that it was Anthony Blinken, who was at the time with the Biden campaign, that rattled the cage of former senior CIA official Mike Morrell and said, hey, can you help us out with this Hunter Biden laptop thing and spread a huge lie across the land and recruit some other pathological liars like penitentiary face Brennan, who voted for the Communist Party candidate for president. Could you recruit these corrupt, you know who they are. You're from that community. Is it a community or a village? The intelligence community It should be a gated community. In fact, you know, the gates should be locked and the walls should be about 20 feet high. And we should call it a penitentiary because these 51 should be in prison. That's where they should be. You know, their community should be Rikers Island. It should be Supermax in Colorado. Because these guys, you want to talk seditious conspiracy? John Solomon nailed it yesterday. And we have the email because John Solomon got it. And here's the intelligence chief. Hello, chief. Telling the other intelligence crooks, the criminals, to join the lie, join the big lie about the Hunter Biden laptop being Russian disinformation. And the reality is, this is an actual conspiracy by corrupt U.S. intelligence officials to throw the election to Joe Biden and away from Donald Trump because of their hatred of America and our customs and our laws. And they betrayed the offices that they once held. They betrayed the dignity that they are supposed to maintain as office holders. They betrayed the nation. And I've got to say, this is unambiguously, I will say this, what they did, forget about the Proud Boys, what they did was seditious conspiracy. It was sedition. It was, you know, this is what they did in third world countries during the Cold War to make sure that the pro-Soviet communists didn't win in B-poll countries. And they did it to us in 2020. We're at 888-630-9625.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshare. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO and founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare. In the process, started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you can buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. The crazy thing is, this never ends. Even when you die, your family's now going to be stuck with this burden. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. If we take you as a client, I guarantee we'll cancel your timeshare or you'll pay nothing.
Call for your free information kit. 800-611-7272. That's 800-611-7272. 800-611-7272.
Ad paid for by the Sentinel Group. Attention veterans, active duty military, civilians, and contractors. If you were issued earplugs between 1999 and 2015 and were diagnosed with hearing loss or ringing in the ears, you may be entitled to compensation. The manufacturer of these military earplugs recently paid $9.1 million to resolve claims that their earplugs were defective, potentially exposing service members to damaging sound levels that could have resulted in hearing loss or tinnitus. If you or a loved one were issued earplugs and were diagnosed with tinnitus or hearing loss, don't wait. You fought for this country, and our attorneys want to fight for you. Call 800-783-2402 now for a free legal consultation and to see if you may be eligible to file a claim. Time restrictions may apply, and you pay nothing unless there's a recovery in your favor. So call 800-783-2402 now. Again, 800-783-2402. That's 800-783-2402.
There's no denying it, gold is hot right now. Prices are soaring, and experts are predicting even more to come. Not so long ago, gold reached its all-time high of $2,069 an ounce, and now it's inching even closer to that number again. Bank of America, one of the largest banks in the world, is saying gold will rise further still to over $2,200 an ounce later this year. Well, gold is already a safety net for your hard-earned money, and now, when the stock market is all over the place and the value of the dollar is uncertain, being safe really counts like never before. Noble Gold Investments is offering a 5-ounce America the Beautiful coin for any qualified IRA. A solid silver U.S. Mint issued coin celebrating our national parks free with every qualifying precious metals IRA or 401k rollover. You can't go wrong with Noble Gold Investments. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and use Chris as promo code to get a free silver coin. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Investing involves risk. Past performance is no guarantee of future results.
Everybody has a smile story. Those daily moments of joy that make you smile. Especially when you're a child like 3-year-old Zena. Her smile is as bright as her future. But there's something you wouldn't know about Zena. She was born with a cleft lip, which can make it hard to eat, talk, hear, and even breathe. And she's far from alone. A baby is born with a cleft every 3 minutes. This hurdle could have kept Zena from living her full smile story. Thankfully, she met Smile Train. Since 1999, Smile Train has helped millions of children like Zena find their forever smiles by empowering medical professionals around the world to provide cleft care in their own communities at no cost to families. Smile Train is working tirelessly to give every child with a cleft the opportunity to live their full smile story. Learn how you can help more kids like Zena at smiletrain.org/learn.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Omaha Steaks Burger Perfection Flight, made from single cuts of real aged Omaha steaks, rewrites the book on burgers. Go to omahasteaks.com, use promo code HOT at checkout for an extra $20 off your order, plus free shipping when you order the $79.99 Burger Perfection Flight, a fantastic array of pure ground steak on a bun burger greatness. For $20 off the Burger Perfection Flight, use promo code HOT at checkout at omahasteaks.com and discover your new burger obsession. Minimum order may be required.
I went to Al Gore's amazing internet, which I do quite frequently, and I looked up a seditious conspiracy of which the black Cuban American Enrique Tarrio, who the media says identifies as black to strip him of his African American heritage, and they call him Henry instead of Enrique to strip him of his Cuban heritage. Which reminds me of Trayvon Martin, right, and George Zimmerman, who they called a white Hispanic, which is not a term that had been in use before the New York Times labeled him that way, but they wanted to make him less sympathetic to leftists while they accused him of murder, when, of course, Trayvon Martin hung out there for 5 or 6 minutes to beat up somebody he thought was gay, so he was a gay basher, but pay no attention to that. I looked up seditious conspiracy. Middle Tennessee State University provided me with a definition. Seditious conspiracy law was enacted after the Civil War to arrest Southerners, that seems racist, who might keep fighting the U.S. government, which a lot of Democrats did, still are. Sedition cases have been rare in recent history, but yesterday a black Cuban-American and three of his friends, the Proud Boys, convicted of seditious conspiracy. The charge can be difficult to prove, especially in cases when an alleged plot is unsuccessful. Well, let me say that Mike Morrell and John Brennan engaged in a seditious conspiracy in a plot that was successful, because the goal was to make sure that Joe Biden won the presidency of the United States, and they used their offices and the stature, the status of those offices and of those job titles to undermine a presidential election, and they did so successfully. Again, John Brennan, with an email from Mike Morrell. John Brennan, of course, was the communist voting CIA director under Barack Obama, whose mentor as a teen, Frank Marshall Davis, was a communist as well, Where'd all these communists come from? And Van Jones, who they brought into the administration, self-identified as a communist. It sounds crazy, I know, but there it is. The email went to John Brennan from Mike Morrell. Can I add your name to the list? We'll be adding Leon, Sue Gordon, Jay Johnson, George. I don't know if that's George Tenet, former CIA director. Lisa Monaco, Mike Rogers, the DIRNSA director of the National Security Agency today. Working Dad, Dan Coats, Mike Rogers, and Tom Bosert, you see. And lots of other IC career folk. That's intelligence community career people. Shouldn't really say folk. Trying to give the campaign, he's talking about the Biden campaign, trying to give the campaign, particularly during the debate on Thursday, a talking point to push back on Trump on this issue. This is the laptop and the emails. Now, we know that the laptop was entirely authentic and real. The emails, entirely authentic, true and real. Very damning for Joe Biden and the corrupt Biden organized crime family. And here are two very, very senior CIA officials engaged in an actual conspiracy. It's right here in black and white. To undermine our presidential election, and they did so successfully.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
What's being hidden from us? About the COVID-19 scenario? About covert climate engineering operations that are wreaking havoc with weather all over the world? About the totality of unfolding and accelerating global environmental collapse? If you're willing to face and investigate shocking, verifiable realities that mainstream media sources and their distract and divide talking heads will never tell you, tune into the commercial-free, non-political Global Alert News Hour, Saturday at 11 a.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
It's rodeo time. 75 years of bucking by the river. Reading Rodeo celebrates 75 years with four action-packed nights of riding, wrestling, wrangling, and roping. Wednesday night is Native American Night by Reading Rancheria. MD Imaging brings you Family Night Thursday. Friday is tough enough to wear pink with Pendleton whiskey and block beverage. Sierra Pacific closes out with Saturday's Armed Forces Night. Reading Rodeo, May 17th through May 20th. Get your tickets now at readingrodeo.com.
The City of Reading cares about clean, affordable transportation. Reading Electric Utilities' new income-qualified electric vehicle voucher program reduces the purchase or lease price on eligible new or used electric vehicles by $3,000. Fuel prices are on the rise, but RU rates remain low. EV drivers pay the equivalent of about $1.10 per gallon versus the paid price at the pump by gas vehicle drivers. Find out if you qualify at cityofreading.org/rebate and enjoy fuel savings in an EV that fits your lifestyle. Funding is limited, so don't wait. Apply now.
Satisfy your cravings with Roliberto's Taco Shop at the corner of California and Placer in downtown Reading. Enjoy breakfast burritos from 9 a.m. to noon for only $6.99. And don't miss Taco Tuesday. Choose from chicken, beef, or ground beef tacos for only $2.25 each. Roliberto's Taco Shop also offers burritos, taco salads, and delicious combination plates, including two crispy tacos, a taco and enchilada, taco and tostada, carne asada, fajitas, and more at Roliberto's Taco Taco Shop at 1701 California Street in downtown Reading. Mention you heard this ad on KCNR and receive a free taco between 6 and 9 p.m. Open Monday through Wednesday, 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. Thursday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 2 a.m. and Sundays, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Order through DoorDash for delivery or call 530-605-0724 for takeout or join us at Raliberto's Taco Shop at the corner of California and Placer in downtown Reading.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle. From your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between, we make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary. You just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You get to enjoy a free beverage with free Wi-Fi and earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that is a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Reading on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Now, there was at least one poll that showed that had voters been made aware of, you know, remember the FBI jumped in and killed the story by getting hold of left-wing weasels at Twitter and saying, oh, no, the Russians are going to be, and the FBI went to Facebook, left-wing weasels in the deep state, the permanent bureaucracy. And they corrupted Facebook and Twitter, which were inclined, I think, predisposed to be corrupted in this fashion. And they were. And they did not allow broad distribution of the New York Post stories about the laptop and distribution of the content of the emails, right? And there was at least one poll that showed that had people been aware of the validity of the stories of the laptop and the emails and the big guy and the 10% and the money and all of that, that it may have moved enough votes to swing the presidential election. But never forget that Joe Biden got more votes by campaigning out of his basement, thanks to the news media, than any presidential candidate, any president in the history of the United States of America, which makes a lot of sense because, you know, corn pop and all that good stuff. I'm telling you. Yes, sir. Yeah, the Washington Post and left-wing Poynter Institute, PolitiFact, they attack the polls that said, you know, enough votes might have been moved because one poll, one survey found that 17% of Biden voters would not have voted for Biden. The Biden-Harris ticket, oh, she was out on the loose yesterday again, too. If they had known about the Biden laptop, and Congressman James Comer cited that poll, the Media Research Center, my good friends at MRC, the Media Research Center, they polled Democratic voters in 2020 swing states and found that 17% wanted to change their vote if they had only known about the contents and the evidence in the New York Post story. Multiple stories, and Congressman Pat Fallon is quoted as saying that. Now, the truth doesn't really matter much in the United States of America anymore because the Democratic Party has secured information dominance in a military sense, in a and cultural dominance, as though they're an invading army. But this story just blows the doors off of pretty much every lie that we've been told regarding the laptop and everything. This makes it even crazier. Now, the debate, the presidential debate, I believe was the 22nd and of October. And this email went out on October 19th of 2020. They were seeking to corrupt, and they say it right here. It's right here in black and white. They were seeking to corrupt the outcome of the presidential election in favor of the Democratic Party. So Joe Biden, on October 22nd of 2020, in the debate with President Donald John Trump, and this is what it sounded like.
There are 50 former national intelligence folks who said that what this he's accusing me of is a Russian plant. They have said that this is has all the characters. Five former heads of the CIA, both parties, say what he's saying is a bunch of garbage.
Now, that was one of the biggest lies ever told in American political history. And behind that lie, we know now, was Anthony Blinken, and he lied about it when he was asked about it recently. He was with the Biden campaign at the time. He's the one who got the ball rolling. How do we discredit the laptop story? Because this is lethal. And then recruiting former deputy CIA director and acting CIA director Michael Morell. Mike Morell really got things going. And recruiting John Brennan. Every time I mention Penitentiary Face's name, I've got to remind that I don't know, did you ever vote for Gus Hall for the Communist Party candidate for the presidency of the United States? Because John Brennan did. Where do they find these people? Boy. And the actual email is right here in my hand. You can hear it. That's it. Now I'll read it. Recruiting lots of other IC career folk. Intelligence community crooks, criminals. You know, I guess they, over their career, they got so used to meddling in elections overseas, they say, hey, why don't we do it here? Right? This is why we build penitentiaries. And he wrote, trying to give the Biden campaign, particularly during the debate on Thursday. He's writing this on October 19th. The debate was October 22nd. A talking point to push back on Trump on this issue. On this issue, this story, this truth, trying to undermine the truth, trying to destroy the truth, trying to steal the presidential election. And they recruited Dana Bash's ex-husband, Jeremy Bash, who was just a campaign wank who got, a do-nothing job at the CIA, came with good parking, kind of like King Charles. He's going to get good parking, too. And dental. Good dental. But the honestly, this is the biggest conspiracy. And this is not a conspiracy theory. It's right here in black and white. And again, the great reporter John Solomon got it. And here's his story at Just the News. JustTheNews.com. Premeditated and admitted lie is the headline. Intel pros slam Biden laptop letter after bombshell revelation. Ex-CIA boss Morell wrote colleague that the Hunter Biden laptop letter was a talking point to help Joe Biden at debate. John Solomon, also a friend of mine. I've been around this town for a while. I guess I know a bunch of people. In a rare and candid email exchange between two former CIA bosses, Morell, again, the deputy director of CIA and for a period acting director, and, of course, Penitentiary Face Brennan was the actual CIA director, communist voter, and Barack Obama ally. And that means he's corrupt for, like, three different reasons there. Two former CIA bosses, Michael Morell and John Brennan, in October 2020, that he was organizing a letter of 51 Intel experts claiming the emergence of the Hunter Biden laptop was a Russian influence operation. this letter was, this operation, this was an information operation that was orchestrated by our own intelligence community, and it was carried out against the American people on behalf of the Democrat Party by the permanent bureaucracy, also known as the Deep State. And you can get your Deep State t-shirts and coffee mugs at the Chris Plant store in case you don't have one yet. And if you have any, you know, left-wing government officials in your family, you should get a coffee mug and a t-shirt for them, too. So it was they were claiming falsely that it was a Russian influence operation because he wanted to give Joe Biden's campaign a, quote, talking point to push back on, end quote, Donald Trump during the last presidential debate of the 2020 election season, according to documents obtained by Just the News and not by the New York Times or ABC News, because that's not the business they're in. Brennan, who served as CIA director under President Barack Obama, willingly agreed to sign the letter after being told of its political intentions. That's exactly right. Okay, Michael, add my name to the list, Brennan wrote Morrell on October 19th, 2020. Good initiative. Thanks for asking me to sign on. And then he put on his helmet and turned on the Soviet national anthem real loud in his office. And he provides the email, which I was just reading to you in the link as well. The email exchange provides damning new proof supporting House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan's explosive revelation last week that the now infamous intelligence letter, which was portrayed by the news media, fact checkers, and big tech as an independent and organic initiative by security experts, was in fact a political effort. It was more than a political effort. It was the dirtiest trick ever played on the American people by the Biden camp. Make no mistake. You know, and the biggest dirty trick before that was the fake dossier, which was also used by J. Edgar Comey to lie to the FISA court to get warrants to spy on Naval Academy graduate and other Trump allies and to set up George Papadopoulos. Remember Azra Turk? That was a conspiracy. That's not a conspiracy theory. That is a conspiracy. And if we had a news media, I wonder what they would do with their time. Who is Azra Turk? I've been asking the question for years. 60 Minutes and ABC News have failed to answer that question. So big tech, meaning, and honestly, the FBI got a hold of big tech and sunk their vampire-like teeth into the people at Twitter and Facebook and instructed them that it would be imprudent to allow people to distribute these true stories about the Biden family on the lead-up to Election Day because the passive-aggressive crackhead stripper-knocker-upper Hunter Biden left his laptop at a computer repair store in Delaware and never went back to get it. And, you know, that guy has been destroyed, the owner of the computer store. His business is gone. He's on the run because he feels his life is in danger. Yeah, not an independent, organic initiative by security experts. It was, in fact, a political effort, a dirty trick, a conspiracy, a seditious conspiracy by U.S. spies instigated and assisted by Biden's campaign in an effort to influence the outcome of the 2020 election. Intelligence professionals, reacted swiftly to the news Wednesday night, saying the revelation that two former CIA chiefs used their professional credentials to influence the 2020 election was troubling. I say it is seditious conspiracy and a successful one. This wasn't a talking point to toss back at Trump. It was a premeditated and admitted lie to the American people designed specifically to deceive and hide the truth, retired FBI intelligence chief Kevin Brock told Just the News. And for what? To help elect a politician? Yes, a Democrat, a moron, a brain-dead, brain-addled jellyfish of a man. What a steep and sad cost to the soul for such a meager goal. Now, I would agree with that, but obviously these people are corrupt enough where they're okay with that. All right? Just nuts. All right, let's go to a telephone call, Michael. Also, you know, I mean, in the headlines, explosive emails show former CIA directors colluding one director, one acting director, and deputy director, colluding to create false document to influence 2020 election. Now, honestly, I've been calling this that since the day that I read, and we got this felonious 51 fraud while we were on the air, and I read it, and having been responsible for covering the Central Intelligence Agency and the U.S. intelligence community for a decade, I read it, I immediately spotted the weasel words in there, and I immediately called it what it was live on the air the moment I read it, and I've been calling it just that ever since that day. Now, let's go to the telephones, Michael. Let's go to Sid, calling from Los Angeles, California, listening on Al Gore's Amazing Internet on the WMAL app. Hey, Sid.
Good morning, Chris. Maybe you can answer this question that's been bothering me. You know, here, the FBI had the laptop for 11 months, and Christopher Wray and Bill Barr said nothing to say that it was a real laptop. And if Bill Barr is supposed to be supervising the FBI, didn't know about the laptop, that's bad news. And if he knew about the laptop, that's bad news, that he kept quiet and just left Trump out there looking silly rather than saying this is a true thing. I don't understand why in his own administration the people didn't come out and say that this was a laptop, a real thing from Hunter Biden. I don't understand.
Well, I think Christopher Wray is a sneering, permanent bureaucracy corrupt Nick, and I think the look on his face when he testifies on these matters reveals that to my satisfaction. And then you remember he was testifying and he said he had to go for very important business, and he went off and got on a government Gulfstream jet and went to upstate New York for a family party. And I have no respect for Christopher Wray or for the other leadership of the FBI that has not come forward. Bill Barr, I want to see under oath. I want to see him ask these questions under oath. I tend to give him more credit and more latitude, and maybe I'll be proven wrong. As you know, I want to believe that he's an honorable man and deserving of respect, but I'm going to need to see him explain that, because you're right, Sid. That is, you know, that's key to the whole thing. Why didn't our senior government officials, and you're right, the FBI had the laptop long, long before the election. Well, but we know the FBI was corrupt because they were on the horn with Twitter and Facebook telling them to disallow the distribution of the truth about the Biden organized crime family. And then the intelligence community engaged in a seditious conspiracy, a plot to throw the election of the United States of America for the Democrats and lunch bucket Joe Biden and against Donald Trump. And here, as people are fond of saying these days, here are the receipts. Thanks to John Solomon and not the Washington Post or the New York Times. Thank you, Sid.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show. Enjoy cleaner, safer, and more private internet daily. Be more cyber zen. For a limited time only, get our special offer at NordVPN.com. With a few simple clicks, NordVPN will block online trackers and hide your virtual location. It will secure your devices from malware-infected downloads and block access to malicious websites. Enjoy Internet without trackers. Internet without malicious websites. Internet without malware-ridden files. Imagine your data more secure, your connection protected. Be more cyber zen. Take advantage of our special offer now at NordVPN.com. NordVPN, cybersecurity built for every day.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Today on Hey Culligan, Smart Home, Smarter Water Softener. Here's Kevin.
Hey Culligan, can a smart water softener lift those heavy salt bags for me?
Kevin, it can.
Wait, it can?
Yep, the smart high-efficiency water softener from Culligan can alert your dealer when the salt needs to be replaced, and they'll do it for you, so your water stays soft and you stay away from lifting the bags.
I mean, I could lift them if I wanted.
No judgment here, Kevin. We're happy to do it, and we're already on the way. Let us help you out with a free in-home water test with the local Culligan water expert at Culligan.com.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at shastacollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at shastacollege.edu.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons, an independent senior living community. I'm excited to share with you an exclusive program we are currently offering at River Commons called our Moderate Income Program. This is an in-house program offered by Raystone Senior Living. Those who financially qualify for this program will receive a reduced monthly rate. This rate still includes all of our regular services and amenities. Included in the monthly rent are 3 chef-prepared meals daily, weekly housekeeping and linen services, scheduled transportation, activities, utilities, cable TV, an emergency medical pendant, and more. Our community also has a very friendly family feel, all set on beautiful grounds with scenic views. To learn more about our moderate income program, schedule a tour, or lunch plus a tour, please give us a call at 530-221-2121. You can also visit us on our web at river-commons.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
The FBI, I think, basically came to us, some folks on our team, and was like, hey, just so you know, like, you should be on high alert. There was we thought that there was a lot of Russian propaganda in the 2016 election. We have it on notice that basically there's about to be some kind of dump of that's similar to that. So just be vigilant.
That's Mark Zuckerberg explaining the FBI coming to Facebook to lie to them, to corrupt the election, and whatever filthy FBI criminal did that should be put into ankle shackles at Reagan Airport and dragged away to Supermax, thrown in the hole. It should be like the Shawshank Redemption, throw him down in the pit with the sodomites. You know, just saying. If you look up the news on Al Gore's amazing internet, Politico, left-wing shill front operation for the Democrat Party, on the very same day, October 19th of 2020, a nice glowing picture of Hunter Biden looking healthy and smiling. Hunter Biden's story is Russian disinfo, dozens of former intel officials say. More than 50 former intelligence officials signed a letter casting doubt on the provenance of a New York Post story on the former vice president's son, and it's on the vice president too. And they quote an ally of Brennan's here who came to the Politico. They were dispatched to lie to the media. Nick Shapiro, a former top aide under CIA Director John Penitentiary, faced Brennan, who voted for Gus Hall, the Communist Party candidate for president, provided Politico with the letter on Monday. He noted that the IC, quoting now, and all these abbreviations, take your abbreviations and shove them. The IC leaders who have signed this letter worked for the past four presidents, including Trump. Yeah, they're the permanent bureaucracy. They're the deep state. That's who they are. And they're criminals. They engaged in a seditious conspiracy. And again, if Enrique Tarrio and three other members of the so-called Proud Boys were convicted of seditious conspiracy for Enrique Tarrio not even in Washington, D.C. that day, then these, let's start with Brennan and Morrell, ankle shackles, all right? Shackles behind the back, not in front of the back, chains around the waist. These people need to be in the hoosegow, in the can. Is that a double entendre? Hard to say, but there it is. And the Politico, they were all over the story, and the rest of the media. And good because they say that the Brennan guy, Nick Shapiro, provided Politico with the letter. Wow, isn't that amazing? On Monday, that was October 19th. That was the day that Morrell recruited Brennan. The debate was on Thursday night, so they had to move fast to give, as Morrell said, the campaign a talking point to push back on Trump.
If you are 50 years or older, come down to Wind River Resort and Casino for our Senior Day promotion every Wednesday. Check in at the River Club with your River Club card and play your favorite slot machine to receive five times...